Hello, I'm George Takei, and mischievous pisser possums are not welcome in these parts. You're listening to Pastor Lindstedt's The Movement Turd.
Coin, operated goy, mittens on the shelf, full of Bane pelt. Soldiers turn him on, and he starts to lie. Give cacks a G-War, that is what you want. A coin operated goy, made out of kike shit. It flies elastic, mit it's doofus and quite spastic. What kike could ever ask for more? Lies without any afterthoughts galore. Coin operated goy, just like all the other tards that them kikes destroy. So you turn it on and it starts to lie. Give kikes a G-War and she thought like a whore and will never let us go. And will never let us go. And will never let us go. Oh no, juice coin operated goy. This song weren't written to make you vote mittens. I love this picture of Jews getting jack shittens. Can you extract me from Jews' Mormon fantasy? I didn't think so, but I'm sorta convincible. Will you persist even after Jews fuck you goodbye for the last time? Will you keep on trying to prove it? Jews dying to lose it. Jews losing their competence. Jews want it. Jews want it. Jews want it. Jews want to. Jews want to. Jews want to. Jews want a. Jews want a. Jews want a. Jews want a. Coin operated goy. And if Jews had a goy to wish it for my life, I can't imagine any wigger ass clown could be Mitt's match. Mitt will even take Jews up his ass. Coin operated goy, Mitt may not be experienced with Jews, but I know he'll squeal like a goy should squeal. Isn't that the point? That's why Jews want them. A coin operated goy with his pretty kosher Mormon voice, saying that he loves Jews, that he's thinking of Jews, straight and to the point. That is why Jews want a coin operated goy. Greetings, Zogling, Wigger, and Mamzer ass clowns across the fruit and nut Zog plain. In the open air Coast Coast Nut House, we call Zog Babylon the third and the final. But this show, as always, is aimed at the lost and the found sheep of the house of Israel, ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye who did hear Christ's call. Greetings. Now this is episode number 142.5 of the Movement Third. Tonight is the, 4th of October. It's about, 8:47 p.m. I'm having a little bit of trouble with my internet connection. So, if I go ahead and just type in some, nonsense syllables or just letters, it's because I'm trying to go ahead and keep up. It's just simply a internet connection, which is at fault here. So, pretty well, I'll go ahead and do the monologue, and then I think see Logan Hunter is in, and I'll have him go ahead and call. But, any case, let's see here. Okay. Anyway, folks, tonight's show is going to be called Muck Fittings, or Why White Nationalists Should Boycott This Election and Let the Nigger Win. Anyway, tonight, nothing out of the usual is taking place in the Whigger Nationalist or Wandering Mamsers or Wikipedia Talks to UCI bowel movements. Last night, I went ahead and called in Jeremy Visser, and we talked for about an hour or so on the Pisser Possum Turds, also known as the Obie and Visser, Pisser Possum Show. And pretty well, Obie Genderbender ran off real quick when I went ahead and showed up, which is not to be surprised about, about that at all. But what happens, Jeremy was decided to go ahead and feel or act polite for once. And that was a little bit unusual. What happens is that, Monday, lying Larry Blanchard, who I consider to be a bell priest and an idiot, got annoyed and filed a DMCA complaint against Jeremy Visser, and his webpage was taken down for, about half a day or so. And then Visser went ahead and obeyed the DMCA, took down the links to Blanchard's copyrighted work, and he got his webpage back up again when he went ahead and removed the links. And that's how the DMCA complaint works here. You go ahead and you make the complaint, and then somebody can go ahead and either make a counter complaint, in which case it might very well be, litigation on, or somebody just simply goes ahead and takes it down, usually voluntarily, and then the webpage is back up. No big deal. Now, if it occurs three or four or five or a dozen times, pretty well, a webpage may be taken down for violating the DMCA complaint. That's what Brian Real was trying to pull on me. He made a bunch of bogus DMCA complaints. I went ahead and answered them, and then he went ahead on 101.com, used the bogus TOS, or Terms of Service, complaint. Well, for about a year and a half, that worked, and then I guess some smart boys at 101.com figured out if Linstead decides to go ahead and sue us here, he can go ahead and sue us because he did file a DMCA complaint, so what we're going to have to do is maybe take down Finkelshimi. Or it might have been just simply, as I think with Eli James, it might have just simply been a provocation. Although less so in the case of Eli James, because Eli James at least had much of a webpage. So anyway, in the bowel movement, you have nothing much going on. I was surprised that Linder didn't have hardly any threads. And I went ahead and seen that he went ahead and banned poor OPTT Tony, a quasi-Christian meerkat of nearly 10,000 posts over the years, over on VNNF. And Linder went ahead and banned him at the very end of August. What happens, he got tired of OPTT Tony going ahead and saying something Christian, and so he put him in a tard corral, and OPTT Tony didn't behave himself, so he got banned altogether. And so that's what Linder's been doing. He's been going ahead and banning everybody who doesn't go ahead and lick his bunghole. Anyway, though, I went ahead over on Sperm Front, and it's just simply the same old tard corral. Someone went ahead and mentioned something about Ape Foxman going ahead and retiring, and that's no big deal. I mean, it's just going to be another Jew. Just going to go ahead and be another Jew. That's all it's going to be. So, I'm going ahead and looking somewhat at the chat here. It's working late tonight. And in any case, if you're going to have some patience here, old Pisser Possums. Okay, well, I'm sorry it doesn't have audio right now. It might be your internet connection here. So I'm going ahead and looking at the chat. Folks, for some reason, TalkShoe is not working too good, here in Granby. So what I'm having to do is go ahead, and the chat room is hanging, okay? So pretty well, I unmuted guest number 8. That's the last thing I went ahead and did. So I mean, if I go ahead and really get hot and heavy here, I might go ahead and miss a number of things. So anyway, nothing much going on in the movement. You have old Carolyn Yeager. She's still sniping over on Greggy Johnson's countercurrent, new right faggots countercurrents. Greggy is not paying the slightest bit of attention. She's gone ahead and picked up a few little meerkats in Hattie's mold to go ahead and chur, and over on, VNNF, you have Hattie, who's being a good little colostomy bag licker. Folks, everything has sort of settled down. And so tonight's show, since there's not really much going on, I mean, just pisser possums being pisser possums. Last night, Jeremy Visser went ahead and told what I thought was always the case, is that actually Olga is not Jeremy Visser's name. The Olga that the real William B. went ahead and sent is about 20-some-year-old, old slant-eyed Ukrainian or Russian, heifer. She's white, but she has slant eyes. And so, most Ukrainians and Russians, they have a bit of Tartar or Mongol or wheat gar in the in with them. And, I got Jeremy Visser to say, to admit that, his mother is not named Olga, but she might be named Biletus, which is what I was going ahead and saying. It's a grand old mamzer's name, for it was Biletus, and Clitus, strong as any mamzer's can be, for impropriety to society made it Biletus. Anyway, and I'm going to go ahead, and I need to come up with a parody song for Mittens here, and I was thinking of Coin Operated Boy by the Dresden Dolls, but I'll go ahead and call it Coin Operated Goy here, because, sing that about Mittens here, and I have been running behind on re-engineering the movement turds, but they're on the show here. So anyway, what happens is that pretty well, I was thinking about what's going on because essentially all the news is about last night's so-called debate between Mittens and Obongo, the first nigger and the first wannabe first wigger. Essentially all it was two liars going ahead and yapping shit here. And Mittens simply went ahead and pulled a Jeremy Visser on the nigger. Now the nigger's, his problem, it's the same problem niggers always had when he didn't have some Jew with his hand up his ass running his mouth here, without a teleprompter. The nigger didn't really know what to say. The nigger is essentially an empty nigger suit. He didn't know what to say. Nigger didn't know what to do. What am I going to do? Well, essentially all I could do is grin and shuck and jive here, just like a coon. That's all the nigger could do. That's all that nigger could do. So, the power bottom right. Anyway, so that's all the nigger could do, is just go ahead and grin and shuck and jive. Didn't know how to go ahead and deal with the lying wigger. The wigger was essentially, let's see here. The Kenyan first nigger, like I said, didn't have a teleprompter handy. Thus, the Jews around the first nigger couldn't tell that he's pit chimp how to chimp out against Shittens. Secondly, Shittens pulled Jeremy Pisser Possum Visser. Mittens simply lied. Mittens loves the teacher Junyans and will give Zog's arm farces trillions of Zog bucks and repeal Obongo Romney Care and let the seasoned citizen wiggers stay on Medicare but sent to the states and let these states go belly up. And the middle-aged wiggers and a few remaining young wiggers will get vouchers and tax cut for all pissable, especially corporations, which are pissable too, and to save our Jew pals isn't real, so that's why we need to make sure our Jews have lots of Zog bucks, something worth borrowing and borrowing big from the Chinkies. He went ahead and said, I'm going to go ahead and decide, I'm not going to run on borrowed money. Mittens ran Bain Capital. He just simply went ahead and took these ailing companies, loaded them up with debt, skimmed off the top, looted the pension funds, and moved on. Essentially, Mittens is just a locust or, you know, votes are capitalist, according to the Angle Mestizo Perry says. And that's quite true here. Minton's just simply pulled Jeremy Visser and just lied. That's all Minton's did. That's all Minton's could do. Minton's don't have a notion here of going how to fix things. He's not going to tell the truth. So essentially, he claimed that he believes all this shit. Okay? So, what happens is here's a nigger, and he's expecting a wigger to go ahead and tell the truth compared to a nigger. He didn't expect a wigger to go ahead and start lying. So now you have all these Democrats whining like pussies about how Minton's lied. Of course Minton's lied. So does Obongo. You know them, but lie too. Why are you surprised? In any case here. So, what they end up doing is that Mittens, is, you know, needs a nuclear war. Now, Obongo went ahead and pointed out is that he ended the Iraq War, Bushy's World War I, and he went ahead and ended, you know, Bushy War II, and he's going ahead and, you know, pulling the plug on Afghanistan. But old Mittens was saying that you know, Zog's armed jeeps need $5 trillion. For, I guess, well, he wants it to be Mittens War number one. In order to go ahead and essentially finish off Zog's economics and the free so-called unfree world's house of economic cards to go ahead and have a fight with Iran for Israel, for the sake of Jews. Now, none of these people mention here is Iran. You know, Iran cannot get a single nuclear weapon, but guess what? Israel has what? 200-300 of them? Which we went ahead and gave to them. I don't know if you ever went ahead and seen, AMC? Went ahead and seen this Tom Clancy novel where they go ahead and admit they're about to have a nuclear war with Russia, with James Cromwell being the president. And what boils down to is that guess where the plutonium came from? Guess what? It comes from a Zog reactor. In Hanford or, you know, South Carolina or wherever. It came from American reactor. This was a Jew bomb. You know, the whole thing was that, the Jews went ahead and were going to launch nuclear weapons in 1973 during the Yom Kippur War and, you know, pretty well. Zog went ahead and saved their ass and then we ended up having the first energy crunch. I was alive then. And I've seen gas go up from, what, 17, 18, 19, 20 cents, 30 cents, up to, you know, went up to 30 cents, then went up to 40 and 50 and 60 and 70, and then 80 cents, and then a dollar, and then it went back down. But folks, the price went ahead and quadrupled nearly. Tripled anyway. Tripled. And folks, people were not used to that. They were not used to that at all. So it went up to above a dollar and then stayed around a dollar, you know, back in 1980, 1981. Went real low in 1988, 1992. I remember buying some gas for 69 cents, which was the lowest I'd seen for years. So I went ahead and filled up on the way up to Jeff City and came down just before it closed and filled up my tank for 69 cents. Did that, you know. I mean, I was fighting with Marlene Panky at the time, which is a different story. But folks, anyway, here's Mittens talking about how he's going to go ahead and put $5 trillion in Zog's armed forces, not go ahead and change Medicare and Social Security, go ahead and put a voucher on that. He's going to go ahead and put more money into Zog jupes. He's not going to go ahead and cut any entitlements. And he's going to go ahead and somehow stop blowing up the budget by $1 trillion. We're talking about spending $5 trillion on, you know, on Zog's army. And by the way, he's going to give a tax cut to everybody. Now, how the hell is that going to work out? And here's the nigger thinking, can anybody believe this shit? The nigger didn't even believe this shit. He's a tard run by Jews, but the nigger had at least enough wit to realize this was bullshit. And so Mittens is acting real tough here. He's not going ahead and doing what he ought to do, honestly, and say, hey, look, nigger, you're not even an American citizen. No. Mittens is just going ahead and Well, lying out his ass. And everybody will say, well, why didn't the nigger get aggressive with the wigger? Well, folks, the same way as when any white man goes and stands up to a, you know, to a nigger. The nigger is sort of scared. The nigger didn't have any to help. So essentially all the nigger could do is shuck and jive. Now afterwards, when he goes ahead and has a teleprompter talking as air at campaign stop, he goes and says all the shit he should have said later on. So what, folks, what do we go ahead and get out of this here? What do we get out of this here? What do we understand from this? Answer? Well, you know, I mean, what happens, debate number one, is I go ahead and call it wannabe first wigger, whoops, first nigger. You know, will debate number two be the nigger chimps back? Maybe. Maybe not. Who knows here? I've gone ahead and seen some people who thought that essentially maybe Obonga went ahead and blew it and threw the election here because he wants to go ahead and make sure his Democrat supporters show up in order to beat Mittens. No big deal. No big deal. You have the media, the Jews media, and the rest here. And, folks, most people say Obonga did worse than expected. Folks, we've already seen, about a year or so ago, how well the nigger does when he doesn't have the Jew whispering in his ear with a teleprompter. Nigger can't go ahead and think originally. I mean, the nigger's just nothing more than an empty, you know, nigger suit. That's all it is. That's all the nigger is. But then again, Mittens, he's just a sort of empty suit, too. He's just sort of glib, he's sort of a looter, but, you know, being a wigger, he's smarter, of course, than the nigger is. But he's a lying piece of shit. So anyway, I end up having John Britton ask me, are you going to vote? And I've come to the conclusion, no, I don't think I should. I'm not allowed to run for federal or state office, and now I'm not allowed to run for sheriff. And essentially, excuses are is a number of them. But what boils down to is I'm a white nationalist. I'm a racist. And so I'm not allowed to go ahead and run for office. And thus, any racists are not allowed to go ahead and vote for me. So what should a white nationalist or Christian identity do? And the answer is they should simply boycott this election. Go ahead and say it's fraudulent. Don't even bother to vote. Because look, folks, We have been eating shit sandwiches from the Republican establishment for over 20 years. Really, if you go ahead and say that, well, Ronald Reagan was not an establishment candidate, you know, Bush the first was, well, guess what? Here he comes ahead and he gets coronated. Well, essentially, he pretty well ran the last half of Ronald Reagan's administration, because Ronald Reagan was, well, senile. They went ahead and said 2 years into the Bushy first campaign that Ronald Reagan had Alzheimer's. Folks, he had Alzheimer's long before that. I mean, essentially, well, Nancy and her astrologer and George Herbert Walker Hoover Bush and possibly Donald Reagan went ahead and ran the second half of the, well, of the Reagan administration. So then you went ahead and you had the savings and loan due to fraud, go ahead and blow up. Ronald Reagan just simply went ahead and borrowed and spent money. In the first 4 years of his administration, we went, because we were blaming Jimmy Carter for high inflation and all this sort of thing. Essentially, Jimmy Carter was trying to go ahead and pay for it. He was acting more like a Republican than Reagan was. Reagan just simply, well, we're going to reduce the size of government by starving the beast, and what we'll do is we'll borrow money. So America in the first 4 years of his first administration went from being the largest creditor nation to being the largest debtor nation in 4 years. So all we've had is over 20 years, you can maybe say 30 years, of essentially establishment Republicans feeding us shit sandwiches. First it was Bush, George Herbert Walker Hoover Bush, and somebody went ahead and came up, Ross Perot, and said, hey, look, folks, we just have a horrendous deficit here. Well, do you know it was, what, about $2 or $3 trillion back then? Yeah, it was a horrendous deficit. And anyway, it looks like I'm going ahead and having to refresh here. Anyway, folks, I'll go ahead and see if I can't get this thing working again. Okay. But All right, let me go ahead and unmute some people. Well, folks, we've been eating shit sandwiches for about 20 years. First, George Herbert Walker Hoover Bush, 1988. He goes ahead and beats the doofus, you know, the Massachusetts liberal, Michael Dukakis. He looks like a wiener. And then, let me see, who next here? Well, in 1996, here comes Bill Clinton. People were tired of, you know, of essentially the out-of-touch, rich old establishment wigger, George Herbert Walker Hoover Bush. He went from really high approval ratings as a result of going ahead and starting a war with Saddam Hussein, who was getting uppity. And he went from having a real high one, you know, approval rating in 1991 to essentially being derived as clueless, not understanding how to buy groceries, not understand the brand new scanners that they end up having in supermarkets. Didn't even know they had that because essentially he hadn't bought his own groceries for years, decades. And then, so you had old Bubba Caligula. And in 1996, they went ahead and brought up none other than Mr. Baker, the Undertaker, Boob Dolt. I call him Bob Dolt, but I call him Boob Dolt. And Boob Dolt got his ass whooped. And folks, I'm reminded of what happened in 1996 this time. The Saturday Night Live skit. And pretty well, I had to go ahead and laugh. They had Harry Brown running again, or for the first time. Something Harry and Brown that stinks like hell. What is it? It's Harry Brown for the Libertoons. He was a professional crook who the Libertoons, the Libertoon establishment brought up. Folks, I've seen a number of selections. The first one I had was old Gerald Ford, 1976. I was 18 and able to vote. I was going on 19. So I was able to vote, thanks to a new constitutional amendment. Couldn't legally buy beer in Missouri, but I could go across to Galena, Kansas, and buy 3-2, or over to Oklahoma, and buy full 5-point whatever. But anyway, I've been voting since 1976, and folks, I'm going to sit this election out, I believe. Folks, we've been fed nothing but shit sandwiches. 2000, George W. Bush, he was the establishment candidate, and from what I gather, he was a thief. In 2004, another thief, but essentially he went ahead and ran against false Democrat opposition. So then 2008, another establishment candidate, McCain, it was his turn. He lost. And this year, it's Mittens' turn, and Mittens is going to lose. Don't matter what the fuck the debate is. Like I said before here, you're going to have Obongo go ahead and cheat and lie, and Obongo's going to win. Because Mittens won't have the guts to go ahead and, do something online and just simply say, look, nigger, you're not even American citizen. Who the hell do you think you're kidding? Romney is an establishment candidate. He's not going to kick over his Slopcroft. So, folks, why in the world, if we're given a shit sandwich, why should we go ahead and do something stupid like eat it? Why should we eat a shit sandwich? Do you like to taste the shit? Folks, rather, what we should do is we should go ahead and understand something. What we should understand is that this system has no legitimacy. I would far rather see these establishment Republicans ass-raped. I'd just as soon go on, because essentially what we're doing is we're looking into pretty well where big corporations, I don't think, are going to be able to make it, because there's nothing left to really steal. Folks, it's China that goes ahead and implodes here and demands actual money instead of just printed paper dollars. Going to Wally World is going to be like going to Neiman Marcus. These big box stores rely upon trucks, rely upon relatively affordable energy, and people able to go there. And pretty well all these big retail boxes and all this sort of thing are going to go belly up. These supermarkets are going to go belly up. So folks, why in the world should we really care? Because, you know, pretty well the only ones who are trying to go ahead and prop up Romney, the stupid old Uyghurs, and all Mintz has done is fuck over his base. There's no way to go ahead, and does anybody really believe you can go ahead and spend $5 trillion? I don't at all. It's not possible. So what do we do? What do we do? And the answer is there's nothing that can be done at all. What we should do is just simply withdraw any pretense to support this current regime. Don't bother to go ahead and vote. Folks, if somebody goes ahead and you've been eating shit sandwiches for 20-some years, maybe when somebody goes ahead and they present you a shit sandwich for what, for the 24th or 20th year in a row, maybe it's about time that you don't eat it. I mean, don't be like old Liar Bell Mumpsnuff DeClue going ahead and claiming that I went ahead and cooked it pischetti and then eating it. Folks, anybody who had any smarts who'd gone ahead and seen me supposedly cooking spaghetti and piss would have had enough sense not to eat it at all. Folks, if you're offered a shit sandwich in the case of Mittens, who's a lying piece of shit, I mean, essentially all Mittens did was lie. Obongo lied, but hell, Mittens went ahead and lied like a nigger. The nigger didn't know what to do. But folks, Mittens ain't our friend. Going ahead and sending Medicare to the states and then cutting by 2/3 means that the states won't be able to go ahead and pay for it. Oh, by the way, I'm looking at my modem and I pretty well lost the internet connection. Folks, it's not working very good tonight. But in any case, don't go ahead and eat a shit sandwich. Rather, if you're a white nationalist or Christian identity, what you should do is pretty well withdraw your consent from this regime. And what you should be doing is you should be going ahead and looking to yourself, not looking to David Duck or anyone. You should pull your consent. And rather, you should go ahead and start looking to save yourself and the members of your family who are worth saving. Because things are going to go ahead and fall apart, regardless of who goes ahead and wins. A year or so from now, at the most, it's just going to go ahead and be nothing but printing press running. In fact, it's nothing but printing press running now to the tune of what, 60 billion? 70 billion? 80 billion a month? And the Jabberwocky isn't going ahead and stopping it. And the Republicans, they ain't saying a damn thing because essentially they're going, you know, if they go ahead and Mittens wins, they're going to do the same damn thing. You have trouble in China. You have trouble with Iraq. You have trouble with Israel. This is not going to end well. So why go ahead and be a stupid Uyghur and own this shit? Let the Jews, let the Uyghurs, let the niggers, let the rest of them fend for themselves. And when they try to go ahead and take what you got, because you should go ahead and be saving whatever you can for food, and for 22 ammunition and shotgun shells, and, you know, I'm not talking about buying lots of guns, but you should have a couple spares. And you should go ahead and figure out who you should save. Here in Newton County, I'm a piece of shit. I went ahead and stole my family. Destroyed my family. Tried to go ahead and have me murdered. You know, by being railroaded in prison. When they couldn't go ahead and get their way, they went ahead and set me in a nut house, tortured me. Looks, I have no problem skinning out them, be they Uyghurs or Anglo Mestizos or anything here. So, folks, I look upon this collapse, you know, even if I die in it, I'm not worried about it. I don't worry about any of this shit here. I've been in a lot worse shapes here. Folks, there's going to be a time when you're going to have to make a mistake of when it's too early or when it's just right to go ahead and kill the pigs, kill the lawyers, kill the judges, and destroy their entire family. Because, folks, 10 million ex-wiggers, whites, cannot go ahead and keep track of 120 million wiggers, 170 million muds, 6 million Jews, any more than you as a white man can go ahead and keep track of 12 wiggers, 17 muds, and a Jew. You can't. So folks, this die-off, this collapse, this great tribulation is what's going to go ahead and save the white race. So rather than do something, you know, don't, I'm not talking about doing something proactive. I'm just simply saying, stop eating shit sandwiches. Stop, you know, just simply don't vote. As you look at, since you don't have any representation, since it's, you know, this is just something that these idiots, these criminals, these wiggers, these bamboos, the Jews are doing, you don't own it. But by going ahead and pretending you have a vote, you have a say. Well, you're just going ahead, in many ways, going ahead and saying that you own it. And you don't want to do that. Okay? Okay, well, alrighty. Well, it looks like guest number 12 had his, you know, had his say. Anyway, folks, I'm going to go ahead and take a break. I'm going to go ahead and wait for 2 or 3 minutes and for Logan to, call in here. So, folks, I'm going to go ahead and have about a 2 or 3 minute break, folks. Hail victory.
Cotton on the roadside, cotton in the ditch. Big bad cotton, you black sound bitch. Daddy was a Klansman, a Southern Democrat. Long white sheets and funny looking hats, singing songs, song of the South. Whooping nigger's ass and burn his house. Gone, gone with the wind. Ain't no nigger talking back again.
Yes, I admit, we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, took the wings you'll never find. Yes, I admit, we got a wigger problem. Build a drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating crop. I wake up and ride away if the wiggers come to mind. The way they run to and fro, if the wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit, we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, sister wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Build the drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating slop. Wiggers keep remembering how good God used to be. Being taught long ago our freedom's memory. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, took the wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Build the drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating drop. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating drop. Hello, Logan.
Yeah, hi, who was guest number 12? Is that Mitchell?
Oh, I think it's a Nimbuster.
Yeah.
What happens? I'm having a little bit of trouble here in here in Southwest Missouri, and that the internet is going on and then going off and going on and going off, and I've been pretty well looking at the box here. So, folks, if you end up seeing an FFFF or a VVVV or something like that here, essentially it's me trying to go ahead and catch up with the chat room. Because essentially it, you know, TalkShoe isn't working too good for me tonight here. So, anyway, how are you doing, Logan?
Well, I'm doing okay. So basically you think just let the nigger win, you think vote is a waste of time.
Well, I mean, in many ways here, I mean, it sort of came to a head. I've been sort of thinking about this. I'm chairman of the Newton County Libertarian Party. Pretty well, when they go ahead and, you know, I've been kicked off the sheriff's ballot by essentially these Republicans going ahead and, you know, passing to where if you don't go ahead and fill out an income tax return or fill out all the forms that they want you to fill out, you know, testifying against yourself, I mean, essentially you're kicked off here because you're not paying taxes. Now, I think they're stupid by going ahead and essentially saying, okay, you know, I mean, does it work the other way? I believe it does here. Essentially, if you're not going to go ahead and get representation, essentially, if they're not going to allow you to run or they're not going to allow you to vote for racist candidates, you don't have any representation. This is not your government. And therefore, you should stop pretending that it is. As I look at it, I don't really care. I mean, what difference does it make to me if Mittens or the nigger goes ahead and wins? Both sides are out to fuck me. So why should anybody care? You understand what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
No one should really care what happens to these, you know, idiots or these liars. I mean, I'm looking at these little lying weasels here, and essentially all they are is, you know, a bunch of liars and niggers and the rest here. You know, I mean, every 4 years they pretend they need me or they want me or they want to go ahead and do something for me. And essentially, I shouldn't go ahead and do it. I should just simply say is that, no, you're not a legitimate, you know, you're not a legitimate candidate. You're not, you know, you're not in charge. I mean, essentially, if you want to go ahead and claim that you have any dominion over me, well, remember what they said in 1776, no taxation without representation. Well, folks, they've already said that because I'm a white supremacist, I cannot run at the federal or state level. The Republican Party, the Democrat Party, and the Libertoon Party have said that. And here's the Libertoons pretend to be guardians of freedom. There's no such thing here. They're just a bunch of fifth or sixth rate hacks here who can't make it. The Democrats, Republicans, who want to go ahead and talk about how they essentially love the ass Libertoon ass platform of abortion, sodomy, and smoking dope. And they whine like pussies about how the vast majority say they can't go ahead and have abortions, or they can't go ahead and, you know, have some recreational sodomy, or they can't go ahead and smoke dope. Well, folks, they've gotten more and more of that, but here they did. They went ahead and essentially by a quote majority of 28-1, they went ahead and voted to illegally kick me out of, well, a party position from the 32nd Senatorial District that the people in the 32nd Senatorial District had gone ahead and elected me to. And so, in other words, here are these people who claim, since they're in the majority, they get to go ahead and determine, you know, what the people of this particular district voted for. Now, the fact of the matter is, there's hardly any Libertoons here, so essentially it's just me and Roxy went ahead and ran as precinct committeemen in this particular district. And it's the same way with the Democrats. They have about maybe five or six Democrats run, and this year they didn't even bother to go ahead and run anybody. And the reason they did that is that essentially they don't want people having a reason to go ahead and vote for local candidates, so they don't want people, if they go to the, you know, essentially here in, what, Newton County and Jasper County,
yeah.
They don't want people having a reason to go ahead and vote for the local ones, and then while they're out there, go ahead and vote, you know, they vote for, well, the Republican candidate for Senate, or, you know, or they vote for the Republican candidate for president. They don't want people going ahead and saying, well, my vote is important in local elections. So essentially what they did is they just simply didn't go. And that's their little strategy by Claire McCaskill to go ahead and squeak past for another 6 years. She's a lying, conniving, sneaking bitch. You know, old Todd Akin is relatively honest, but, you know, he's still somewhat of a retard. And, that's probably the only thing I'm going to go ahead and regret not voting for. But, folks, I've gone ahead and decided that I can't go ahead and call for a boycott of the elections and then vote for myself. So, essentially, I think I'm just going to go ahead and not vote. I'm going to have Roxy not vote either. You know what I mean? I'm just simply going to go ahead and call for a boycott of the elections by white taxpayers. You know, because, hey, we don't have representation.
But Scotty's going to go in and try to write in somebody. I mean, do they still let you write in a candidate, like go in there and write a name in?
Why bother? I mean, if you go ahead and, you know, I can't really say boycott this election because it's bogus and then go ahead and vote myself. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? So essentially the thing to do is just simply say, you know, what you gotta understand is that Republicans have been screwing us, have been screwing white people, white nationalists. I mean, it's the Republican Party, which when they had said, hey, we're not gonna allow you to run for United States Senator because you're a white nationalist, you're a racist.
Pat Buchanan supposedly Mr. Hardcore Conservative, he screwed your ass.
Well, he went ahead and denounced me for being a racist. And then what happens is that, week and a half later, he went ahead and threw the, you know, he pretty well got $12.3 million for his cunt sister, Baby Cannon, yelling for himself by going ahead and throwing the election as arranged to George Bush by going ahead and deliberately choosing a nigger, you know, nigger female running primate. And the reason he did that was to go ahead, you know, before he did that shit, he had, what, 3% of the vote? You know, 3% of the rural white vote. And see, the Republicans sort of think that us racists, well, our votes belong to them. You know what I mean? Our votes belong to them. And no, we don't. I mean, look, you're Republican, you're establishment Republican. I would like nothing more than to go ahead and see them raped up the ass by niggers. You know, with their daughters raped up the ass and essentially them, you know, them go ahead and be killed and eaten by niggers. But, you know, nothing would go ahead and please me more because, I mean.
They're white writers. That's what they're begging for, basically that's what they're working on.
That's all your Republican is here. Your Democrat at least go ahead and tell you to your face that essentially he wants you replaced by niggers and beaners. What happens, what the Republican will do is he'll go ahead essentially and not want to pay, you know, white people a living wage and essentially go ahead and bring in all these beaners and the rest and then whine about welfare for, you know, for whites and welfare for niggers. But, you know, hey, all they've done is essentially betray white people. I mean, look, what happens is that Ryan is lying when he's talking about how if you're already on Social Security or Medicare or you're 55, now I'm 54, I mean, somehow you're going to have the option of having regular Medicare, of having regular Social Security. And what happens, both Democrat and Republican have allowed these trust funds to be stolen from. What happens is that here's Mittens talking about putting $5 trillion into the Defense Department, as opposed to just simply taking a trillion out. Well,
basically, Mark, Mitt Romney's big thing, if he gets elected, he's going to start a war with Iran immediately, and Obama is just going to kick the can and destroy the economy even more, and just, you know, but, I mean.
No, they're both going to destroy the economy. They're both going to destroy the economy. I mean, essentially, what's pissing the Jews off is that the nigger is a fat, you know. I mean, there's some people talking how the nigger is a faggot. You know, he might be a faggot.
See, basically.
No, he's a nigger fat. He's a nigger. He's a Kenyan nigger faggot Muslim. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he goes ahead and sort of feels for these little Palestinian sand niggers. And he's sort of like old George Herbert Walker Hoover Bush here. The Jews were all pissed off at him because essentially he was telling them, okay, look, these Camp David Accords that Jimmy Carter went ahead and passed here, and I read Jimmy Carter's book. He said the Jews were a lot worse to get along with than the damn, you know, Egyptians, because they'd insist upon building more and more and more fucking settlements. Now, generally, Ronald Reagan went ahead and told Menachem Begin to stop killing Palestinians, or essentially, you know, there were going to be no more guns and money for them, and essentially Menachem Begin stopped. You know, and Jimmy Carter went ahead and came up with this Camp David Accord, and the deal was no more settlements. And that's pretty well what told George Herbert Walker Hoover Bush, here, Bush the First, went ahead and said, and pretty well the Secretary of State, James Baker, said, well, you guys, you know, okay, look, you boys, you come back to me when you're fucking serious about having peace. And pretty well they still kept the money up, but they didn't give them anything extra, and that's what pissed them off. That's why they supported Clinton. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, all this stupid crap that they're pretending, you know, is real, isn't real. None of it's real.
It's just a fucking fantasy for stupid wiggers to pretend like they have a choice, you know, basically.
Yeah, it's just a dog and pony show. That's all it is.
Yeah, I mean, basically, my feeling, though, is that Romney will start World War III quicker, and Obama will start a civil war quicker. Either way, there's going to go ahead and be
a civil war. As far as I'm concerned, I just assume it be with a nigger, you know, with a nigger in charge here. You know what I mean? But
you know, in a way, if the whites and the army and the whites in the military are not going to wake up, I'd almost rather have the war with Iran. That way, the 10,000 warlords won't have to deal with stupid wiggers. They'll just have to deal with whoever else comes in here. I mean, you know, my feeling is I would like for as many white people to wake up, but the majority wiggers, for some reason, they don't want to grow a set of balls.
Your average Republican wigger, lawyer, you know, fat judge like Perrigo, as they look at it, it's okay to go ahead and steal white people's children. It's okay to go ahead and live off of white people, and they have the notion that somehow they're going to be able to control, you know, the beaners and the niggers here. And then if things get bad, well, maybe we'll go ahead and let Lindstedt out of the prison cell or in that house, and he'll go ahead and do it in our name, then we'll go ahead and kill him off or whatever. You've got to go ahead, I mean, but, you know, there cannot be any rebuilding. Libertoons, everybody else has the idea that somehow we're going to go ahead and rebuild upon the collapse. But first, there can be no rebuilding upon the collapse till all the bad people are dead. And the worst of the bad people are Uyghurs. You understand what I'm saying? They're the traitors. They're the traitors who need to die for their crimes.
All the Uyghurs that love race mixing, that love the Jew, that hate Yahweh and his laws, Yahweh said all the Uyghurs that don't want him to rule over him and don't want his laws to be put to death. That's what Yahweh said, and I have no qualms about it.
Okay.
Because if you can't bow down to Yahweh and accept his authority and do it his way, to hell with you. I mean, you're a worthless.
How much waking up do you need? How much waking up do you need? I mean, don't you go ahead and see what the hell is going on? Now, Jesus Christ, we went ahead and read Matthew chapter 24 about the signs of the times. And pretty well, Jesus told you to, you don't need to be woken up if you're one of his sheep, because you're already aware of what's going on. It's not really so much being woke up here. You got to understand is that most Uyghurs are, well, they're deliberately stupid. They're deliberately blind. They deliberately want to go ahead and pretend that things are going to be okay. And essentially, you know, they get quite uncomfortable with me when I go ahead and tell a pig, you went ahead and you drew the gun, you drew the sword against your own people, and there's no excuse for that. There's no excuse for destroying white families. The only way you can pay is that if your children and your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, even to whatever generation is necessary, die. And essentially, pigs just look horrified because as they look at, well, I went ahead and got in power. I'm a bully and a thug because, well, hey, so I can go ahead and be a bully and thug and do whatever the hell I want to. And essentially, when you commit this crime, you've gone ahead and sentenced your family to death unless you go ahead and turn and go ahead and make peace with 10,000 warlords. So what I'm sort of asking for, you know, and Lloyd Davies went ahead, and he's a stupid, retarded Whigger. I didn't even pay attention because, oh, pretty well I had to go ahead and Dr. Roxy. But I was talking to Jeremy Visser, and he was being, quote, polite here, just like he was in December 2010. And, you know, see, Jeremy will tell the truth when, essentially, as a criminal, he's caught. You understand what I'm saying? You don't have any choice in the matter. So, you know, pretty well.
Hold on. Did he admit to being a model? Because the other night, when I was teaching on Adam.
No, he wasn't meant to be a mongrel, but what happens is.
I caught him in a lie. He let it slip out, and nobody else caught it. But in the chat room, he was saying a bunch of retarded stuff on my show last Friday, and, you know, I said Adam could blush, and only white people can blush, and he was telling me, no, that's not what the word Adam means. Adam means red skin like those Indians.
Well, that's exactly what he went ahead and said when he was.
That's what he was saying.
Well, he was saying the same thing at Stumbleinn, back after he came back on. He was running around dressed as Unabomber on his Covenant People's Ministry. Over on Stumbleinn, he was called himself Cherokee Visser, and at the very end he said, ruddier than Adam. You know, ruddier as the ground or something like that here. That was his little signature line. So he was saying in the chat room the same damn thing he was saying, December and January, December of 2010 and January of 2011.
He basically admitted he was a mongrel,
that
he was Cherokee.
Well, he went ahead and admitted what? Back in March or so, he was 25% Cherokee. And then he got all pissed off, tried to get your talk show taken down. Visser is a known mamzer. I mean, there's nothing to argue about on this sort of thing. You know. But you go ahead and you look at these lying politicians, Al Gore and, you know, Bushy, and, you know, you go ahead, in some cases, Saturday Night Live, you know, tells more truth, than essentially these politicians do here. 2 weeks ago, I was looking at this new nigger playing a bongo, talking about a secret weapon that has a link to this character here who plays Mitt Romney, and, you know, there's my secret weapon here. I mean, essentially, if you go ahead and look at Mittens just simply lied out his ass last night. How are you going to go ahead? I mean, essentially what you have is you have sequestration going on because they have, you know, talking about not cutting off $1 trillion off next year's budget. At the very end, the Bush tax cuts will not go ahead and be reauthorized. See, if Obama wins the presidency, you know, wins re-selection like I think he's going to, Why should he go ahead and reallow the tax cuts to go ahead and be done? He's pretty well said he's not going to, you know, he wants the rich to pay more. Whereas if old Mittens goes ahead, he's talking about spending instead of going ahead and cutting $1 trillion off, because that's where Republicans are there here. They're talking about a war with Iran, and they don't want to cut $1 trillion off. They don't want to cut off $600 billion from...
Hey, here's the problem, Mark. These Jews that own all these military-industrial complex, it makes a lot of money. And when you end the war, you know, a white person would transfer that technology into civilian life and would use it to build up a society. But the Jews are the destroyers, and they, I mean, wars, they make a lot of money. They kill a lot of white people off, so...
Yeah.
That's why they have...
But the problem is that in this particular war, what happens when they go ahead and kill off Zog Babylon. What if they go ahead and create, you know, pretty well the end of Zog Babylon? Do you think that all the remaining people are going to be nice and kind to Jews and Jew banksters? Do you think we're all going to be real, we're just going to go ahead and live real good? You're going to go ahead and live in peace. There's going to be money for Israel. And the answer is that once Zog Babylon falls apart, what do you think is going to be done to Jews over here? And what do you think them ragheads are going to do to Jews over there? What do you think is going to happen to them?
Well, the Jews are going to be targets worldwide for anybody that has the balls.
You don't have to have balls. I mean, you're going to have balls loving Jews when things go bad here. I mean, folks, you end up having people who are essentially losing it. They don't have anything to, you know, they don't have anything to lose. You had an Arab Spring. What happens is that, 3 weeks ago? When you had this piece of faggot shit here goes ahead and he gets lynched or killed over in Libya. And essentially, Obongo pretends it's a mob that did it. And the answer of it was that it was Al-Qaeda Al-Qaeda and Muslim terrorists who actually did it. It was a military operation. And essentially, Obongo and the Jews media lied to us. Right? Right?
They always lie. I mean, they always lie.
I mean, what happens is that shit didn't happen when old Gaddafi Duck was in charge. But now, you don't have Gaddafi Duck in charge. You don't have Zog in charge. Essentially, you end up having what? Muslim, quote, radical terrorists in charge. You know what I mean? So as a result, here they are going ahead and going into the embassy and setting fire to it and actually going ahead and killing, well, Jew-loving Uyghur faggots. You know what I mean? Who are ambassadors. I laughed my head off when I went ahead and heard about that piece of shit being dragged off the toilet here and, you know, essentially that faggot's blood going ahead and being, you know, shed all over the toilet. You know what I mean?
The U.S. military has done to the Muslims, they've raped some of the women, they burned their bodies, they took some of the male prisoners and they sodomized them and they waterboarded them like 300 or 400 times.
Oh, yeah.
And some of the shit that we've been doing for the Jew, our military's been doing for the Jew, is totally against any kind of Geneva Convention.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Some of the generals had enough sense. What happens if we're going ahead, we're in Afghanistan, we're in Egypt, and we get outnumbered, we get captured. What's going to go ahead and happen to our soldiers? What's going to happen to us here? And the answer is, they're not going to go ahead and obey the Geneva Conventions any more than Bushy did. You got to understand is that, well, we've been going ahead and violating. What Hitler did, you know, Hitler didn't do a tenth of what these idiots did in Iraq and Afghanistan. And what we do is we're in Pakistan, and what we do is with our little drones, we go ahead and we murder people who are attending a wedding or farming or whatever. I mean, weddings for whatever reason is the most, and we go ahead and kill people who live in a nation which has 180 billion ragheads and has nuclear weapons. And you wonder if this is the smartest thing to do? Is it really smart? I mean, what prevents, say, Pakistan getting pissed off here and going ahead and giving a bomb to Iraq, to Iran? You know what I mean? You don't think they can't go ahead and drive a couple nuclear weapons here and essentially, going through warlord territory operated by the Taliban, essentially going ahead and putting a few trucks and then driving them to Iran and going ahead and giving them a few Paci bombs, a few Muslim bombs? You don't think they're capable of doing that? I think they are.
Look, the Jews are going to keep pushing shit. They want to stir up trouble. They want to.
Well, they do here. They stir up trouble. They've always stirred up shit. They've always stirred up shit, and one or two things happen. Either the entire, you know, nation, which they are going ahead, dies, and then the parasites have to go ahead and look for a new host, or the nation they're living in pretty well rallies and drives them out here. What do you think happened in the Middle Ages?
I don't know, about what, 80 European countries or something? I mean, over.
No, what happens is that, you know, some of these people got annoyed at this world religions class when I went and pointed out what Adolf Hitler did in 1933 was no different than what, you know, Ferdinand and Isabella did in 1492. And certainly no different than what King Edward I or King Eddie Longshanks did in 1290. They went ahead, essentially said, look, you Jews are parasites, you Jews are thieves, you Jews, you know, go ahead and kill our little babies here and use their blood for your little matzo balls. I mean, essentially, you're just parasites and thieves and criminals, you know, and the spawn of Satan. We've had enough of your shit. What happens is that we won't kill you outright, but we're going to go ahead and encourage you to leave. Or in some cases, people didn't even wait for the king to go ahead and decide to run them off. Sometimes you'd have people take the law into their own hands, which is where it belongs. The law belongs in the people. It don't belong in the hands of the king. It don't belong in the hands of the Congress. It certainly don't belong in the hands of the lawyers. Does it? Who does the law and the assistant that everybody obey it belong to?
Yeah. The French Revolution people rose up, right?
Well, they had enough of a stupid parasitic oligarchy that did nothing but go ahead and take and really gave them nothing but debt. People had enough in the French Revolution. Now, what happens, a lot of it, like Napoleon said, was caused by vanity. At the very end, they end up having a dictator who is far more competent than Louis XVI. You understand what I mean? But Louis XIV, who went ahead and simply set up Versailles, went ahead and set up all this stuff, he had to have war after war after war after war with England and, you know, all these other places. And in many cases, he pretty well took everything he could. And he was... Well, essentially, he was one of the first absolutist kings after the 30 Years' War.
Yeah.
But you got to understand is that here's James I, and here's Charles I, and they just think they're so damn smart, you know, they can go ahead and divine right of kings, and they're having this sort of shit while all this stuff is happening in Germany. You know, the 30 Years' War, from what, 1619 to 1649? And essentially, you end up having really the makings of civil war in England at the same time here. You always have these people, they think that they were born to go ahead and rule unjustly over their own people.
The Jews engineer a lot of shit because they helped cause the French Revolution. The French Freemasons and the English Freemasons got together, and basically they worked in conjunction all over the world, and if they want one country to, they decided they want Germany to be destroyed economically, and if it, you know, and then the National Socialists had to rise up to save Germany. But basically, they've been playing by the same rule book for 7,500 years.
Yeah, they've been evil here. Sort of like Jeremy Visser. His number one goal is to go ahead and bring himself in to Christian identity and to go ahead and pollute the bloodline, you know, pollute the bloodline and pollute the teachings. And the thing about it is that by now everybody figures out that Obagender Bender is some sort of Jew mamzer, you know, with gender identity issues. I mean, a Jew mamzer, tranny faggot. And nobody's, you know, nobody's cool.
He won't show his picture.
He won't tell his name here.
But then, like, his kids are blonde hair and blue-eyed, or blonde hair, but they got cork eyes.
Well, they got mams with cork eyes. I mean, folks, you can go ahead and look at the picture of my grandchildren. You know, 3 out of 4 of them have blue eyes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, white people have brown eyes, but they don't have... Well, I'm looking at this here, a little packy nigger here. She is, well, essentially, she has black eyes here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean,
and that's what the niggers have.
Niggers and spicks have totally different. You know, every now and then, if you get a high yellow nigger that has a lot of white blood, he may end up like with one blue eye or one green eye or something, but that's a fluke, okay?
Well, the eyes are the last, the essentially the last thing, the first things to go. You understand what I mean? But it's not only the eyes, it's the hair, and we're not talking about bottle bun, we're talking about the composition of the hair. And what happens, you can go ahead and look, and you can go ahead and see what I call the sullen mestizo look. You can go ahead and tell these people have some red nigger in them. You understand what I'm saying? And what happens is that what I had to laugh at last night, because I did go ahead after Mr. got off, I went ahead and listened to the debate. All of it, I had it running on VCR, and essentially I also was looking at it on the TV while I was, arguing with Visser. Now, Visser was sort of polite last night, and I got him, he supposedly made what he thought was a zinger. Okay, you got me. My mother's name ain't Olga. I said, so what is it, Jeremy? He said, oh, it's Spiritus. You know what I mean? And William B. was wrong. I mean, William B., he's going ahead, and because there's a woman named Olga Visser, who essentially may or may not be married into him, that's not Visser's mother. You know what I mean? That's not Visser's mother. What happens is that people usually in their 50s or 60s or 70s, and most of them are not even on the computer. Roxy is never on the computer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Roxy is never on the computer. I'm on the computer because essentially my generation made the computer age. You know, I remember when I went to school in Rolla. What happens is that they were talking about, making the code for the IBM PC in 1981. Had this one guy at the computer science course here. He essentially was real smart. He used to go to Princeton, but essentially he got kicked out because, well, like a lot of geeks, he had a number of social issues. Sort of like Keith here. So he got kicked out of Princeton here, but he got pretty well accepted at the University of Missouri, Rolla. I mean, who cares if, you had geeks back then. Essentially, the geeks still, didn't interact very well with women, but didn't really matter. I mean, heck, you didn't have hardly any women in engineering school. I mean, they were talking about how it used to be 20, 30 to 1, men to women. And then when I went there, it was more like, 8 or 10 men to every one woman. And the joke was the women were there to get their MRS degree. You've heard of MS? Well, they were there to get their MRS here.
Basically, you got more women in college now, but I told Russ Walker, women tend to be artistic and left brain, and, they get all bitchy and pissed off that boys and men do better than math and science, but that's the way Yahweh created them.
Well, that is the way it is here. Well, it used to be that women, engineer, it's still the same way there here. About a third was, camel jockeys and petroleum engineering, and you ended up having, you had a bunch of chinks here. Supposedly they were from Japan or Korea, but you always had to wonder here, this one boarding house I went and stayed at was called the Hanoi Hilton. I said, Hanoi Hilton? He said, yeah, they used to have a bunch of Vietnamese students during the Vietnam War studying there. I said, South Vietnamese? And, pretty well this one guy said, well, who knows? You'd have a bunch of gooks here. And some of the gooks didn't know hardly English. One of them was, he was a TA assistant. What happens is that most of the TA assistants, except for engineering mechanics, which is essentially the theoretical thing for statics and dynamics, engineering mechanics, the only one, they were a bunch of white. They were white, but they were all a bunch of faggots here. So the engineering mechanics were Whigger faggots. But the rest of the engineering, TAs were all freaking foreigners. And EE was the worst here, electrical engineering. It just had a whole bunch of gooks in it. I don't know what kind of gooks here. It might have been Chinese, red Chinese gooks for all I know.
school and I switched majors to chemistry, but basically I told Russ, you know, most of the women there, once they get out, they don't really practice and create like the white men do. And a lot of foreigners get in there.
Well, the foreigners were sent, I mean, petroleum engineering.
Hey, a lot of camel jockeys and Indians and chinks and a lot of foreigners go to engineering school and they get a free education because they're foreigners and then they leave this country and go back to their country.
Well, what they were done here, you had Iranian students there. And essentially what happens is that this was around the time that the Shah was being overthrown. And essentially what happens, you had a bunch of them who were sent over here by the Shah because they were politically correct with the Shah, but they had no intention of going back to Iran. You know what I mean? Because they were the Shah's buddies. So a lot of them, you know, wanted...
No, they weren't going to come over here and get a free ride off the taxpayers.
Well, no, most of them didn't get a free ride from the taxpayers. Essentially what they were is that they were essentially the, you know, the camel jockeys. Most of them were, you know, you had some Jordanians, you had some Palestinians, but most of them were Saudi Arabians here. And essentially, the petroleum engineers, two-thirds of the student body, only one-third of the student body was petroleum engineer, was Americans here. Two-thirds of it was essentially people, and they weren't paid for by the taxpayers. They were paid by the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia or the Shah of Iran. I mean, they were not given free. And essentially what happens to chinks, well, they were paid for by the, you know, well, I don't know if they were Chinese or not, you know, but they were paid by the Taiwanese government. I mean, essentially, University of Missouri-Rolla was, you know, it wasn't one of the top 10 schools in terms of degrees, but it was, you know, somewhere usually as high as 12 and as low as 14 in the number of degrees granted. It was the first engineering school west of, you know, the Mississippi, and its original name was the Missouri School of Mines and Technology and Mechanics. You know what I mean? It was set up in 1830 something or another. You know what I mean? So, you know, pretty well, these foreign students back then, they really weren't paid for by the white taxpayer. They were actually paid for by, you know, usually the governments or somebody from their own nations here. And that's why the joke was, is that you don't know. You might have some North, you know, you might have some North Koreans and some North Vietnamese. And you might have some actually...
Look, what I'm getting at is this, okay? This country, not for a long time, it's not been for the white man or the white race in a long time. I mean, it caters to all these foreigners.
It hasn't been. You know, it hasn't been for the white race.
The foreign aid and all that. I mean, basically, the white man, they don't stick together, okay? And the government is not for them. The churches aren't for them. So unless you're a white nationalist, you're just out of luck because, you know, because basically everybody else is against you. So if if you don't turn back to Yahweh and a pure white remnant, then you have nobody.
Well, if you're a white nationalist, you keep your beliefs to yourself. You're not going to go ahead and change Uyghurs. Uyghurs, you make the assumption, just like it's common, is that Uyghurs will, quote, wake up. And the answer is most of them won't wake up here until a bunch of niggers come into their house and rape their wives and daughters and, you know, go ahead and cut off their nuts and shove it down their throats. Then they might wake up, but, you know, you never know. I mean, Uyghurs are so fucked up here. Uyghurs essentially are part Jew. As far as their heads is concerned, you know, well, they're white niggers. They're part Jew, and they're part Beaner, and they're part this, they're part that. They're no longer white between their ears. You know what I'm saying?
Look, the way I look at it, Yahweh said there were twice the child of hell. A Uyghur just is a Jew wannabe, okay? He don't want to be a white man. He don't want to fear Yahweh and keep his commandments. He wants to basically be a slave of the Jew and a puppet of the Jew and kiss the Jew ass out of hell. He wants to be like the Jews.
That's exactly what he wants to be here. He wants to be He wants to be anything but white. Okay, Logan, you've been talking for 39 minutes. Let's go ahead and take about a 2-minute break here, okay?
All right, take a break. I'll be back in 2 minutes.
All right, hail victory.
We sailed out to sea, out from the sweet town of Jersey. For our street bound, if we didn't all drown, the marks of our fetters we carried. From the rusty iron chains, we cried for our wings. The good women we lived in sorrow, as the mainsails unfurled, our curses we hurled, of English and thoughts of tomorrow. Out of the fog, bid farewell to the soil. Down below decks heave a lion. Well, Georgie screamed, driven out from a dream of a vision of old Robert Time. As the sun burned the crew, it eased out the groove. Dan O'Connor was down with a fever. 60 rebels today, bound for Botany Bay. How many do each say receive? Whoa, I wish I was back home in Derry. Whoa, I wish I was back home in Derry. I'll fuck the swell, I'll sit dance like Mars in the fray. White horses rode high, the devil passed by, taking souls to his by toy. 5 weeks out to sea, we went out for the free, bearing our comrades each morning. And in our own shrine, we were lost in time, and this night without all it. I wish I was back home in Derry. Oh, I wish I was back home in Derry. When there's a lining's a hill for a man, when down his whole life in slavery, where the climates are raw and the gun makes a law, neither one nor one cared for grave. 20 years have gone by, I've ended my bond, my comrades go swore beside me. A rebel I came, and I'm still the same, and a cold and lazy night you will find me.
Okay, folks, we're... Okay, what's going on?
I just said we got some pisser possums in the chat room.
We always have pisser possums in the chat room. And we have Nimtards in the chat room. And according to William B., we got Zogbots in the chat room. Right, Papa Cat? So anyway, you know, I don't worry about, you know, what sort of critters are in the chat room. I really don't. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and, you know, I got kicked off as sheriff, you know, and Roxy hasn't filed an income tax return in her life, neither has a number of people. I mean, essentially what you had is you had a Republican, you had a Republican General Assembly go ahead and make that law up, and the excuse was that somebody hadn't paid his municipal taxes, and therefore he couldn't run for this or that here. And this law had been around here. Pretty well, what you end up having is you have both Democrats and Republicans determining who gets to go ahead and run for political office. So as a result, what they've done is that they've gone ahead and decided that they're not going to go ahead and hold actual elections. They're just going to go ahead and allow the people that essentially they decide get to go ahead and run. Well, see, the whole point of having elections is to go ahead and pretend that you have the consent of the governed.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't have the consent of the governed, then how are you any different, even if you run a dog and pony show, like Joseph Stalin used to do here? Essentially, as he said, it doesn't matter who votes in the election, it matters who counts the elections. Essentially, Joseph Stalin would go ahead and insist, and he would go ahead during the Joseph Stalin years, during the Brezhnev years, during the Khrushchev years, why, you had to vote. You were obligated to vote. And guess what? Joseph Stalin got reelected against some token opposition. We'd get maybe 600 votes.
Yeah, yeah.
Soviet Union. And essentially, he'd go ahead and win with 99.996% of the electorate voting for him. I mean, was this a real election? The answer is no. So today, do you have a real election when essentially in Missouri, you can't run for, state or federal office as, a quote white supremacist here? And like I was telling Todd Aiken, I was telling a number of people, well, folks, if you're not going to go ahead and allow me because of what I sort of think, but on the other hand, niggers get to go ahead and run, niggers get to vote, niggers get to go ahead and run, like you said in Smith versus Allwright, but now because I'm white, I'm not allowed to run. Well, for all practical purposes, you've gone ahead not only destroyed my right to go ahead and be enfranchised, you've gone ahead and destroyed the right of anybody else, any racially white, aware white, who wants to vote for a white nationalist candidate. Hell, you even destroyed the right of niggers to go ahead and vote for me on the grounds that they'd rather have someone like me, a Nazi, run it than rather a Jew or a nigger. You know what I mean? Because, well, I mean, you've gone ahead and pretty well said that, certain people do not get to vote. And that's what a lot of this putting people in prison for is not. It's meant to go ahead and disenfranchise them and keep the poor from going ahead and voting. But it's never gone ahead and stopped because essentially here's old Mittens Romney talking about the 47 or 49% who go ahead and, consume the taxes. Well, the problem of it is that here he needs that 47, he needs a portion of that 47, 49 to go ahead, percent to go ahead and vote. And essentially, the only thing that's going to go ahead and maybe save them is if a bunch of Republicans are able to go ahead and bring all these senile old farts out of the nursing home and bust them in on their wheelchairs and their walkers to go ahead and just vote straight Republican. You understand what I'm saying? And I don't think that's going to happen. On the other hand, here's old Obongo. He's going ahead, essentially, and you end up having a Democrat, in Pennsylvania, which went ahead and says, well, we're not going to go ahead and allow, we're going to go ahead and allow voter ID. Essentially, what you end up having, you have two gangs, one race traitor, the other overtly Jew and nigger, going ahead and essentially deciding who gets to vote, who gets to go ahead and decide all this sort of thing. And pretty well, what you have is that you end up having a spiral. And both parties, claim that America is not in decline, that they're looking after the quote middle class, not the white middle class, but the middle class. And no, that's not the way things ever work out. There's no middle class in Mexico, is there? There's no middle class.
The middle class is being destroyed in America. So to say that there's still a middle class, I mean, what's your definition of a I mean, basically the dollar's worthless. So, you know, if you made 50,000 10 years ago and that was middle class, well, that's just barely above. I mean, that's kind of lower.
But yes, but what happens? They've gone ahead and figured out that you have taken essentially a loss in income and a loss in assets for the past, what, 4 years. You have actually gone down for where average white middle class family used to have, what, $120,000?
Anyway.
Now their assets are only worth $60,000. You know what I mean?
I'm paying 30% taxes. Mitt Romney, who's worth a lot more than me because he offshored his assets, he pays 13% taxes. I'm paying 30%.
Come on. Well, he's claimed he's never done less than 14%, but he's not going to go ahead and reveal his income taxes. It don't really matter. What happens is that Mittens, what Mittens was, is that Mittens just simply a lying thief. What he did, Bain Capital, he was the little ass clown, little wigger in charge who went ahead.
Yeah.
And what he did is he would go ahead and load these steel companies. He'd go ahead and load, you know, put these companies that were in decline, he'd go ahead and loan a whole bunch of money, and against that, they'd end up having their pension fund or something like that. Old Mittens would go ahead and steal everything off the top, and they'd move on, and then this company would go ahead and crash and burn. What they would do is they would go ahead and load, he'd go ahead and take all the money, skim it right off the top, and then leave this company with nothing but debt. And he would go ahead and crash and burn 6 months later after, you know, afterwards here. I mean, I got to hear of it firsthand about the Sunbeam Corporation, about Chainsaw Al. They went ahead and brought in Chainsaw Al. They went ahead and ripped off the stockholders. They went ahead and ripped off the workers. They went ahead and ripped off everything. It was, you know, when it was Allegheny International, I worked there. Essentially, it was a struggling company. And here comes Chainsaw Al, and he goes ahead, produces more than they're able to absorb. He goes ahead, makes it out of cheap material. He goes ahead and gets these idiots to believe that the stock is worth $80 at its height. And then it goes ahead and crashes about a year or so after he becomes chairman of the board. And that's what he did. That's what he did with other companies. He'll send them there to go ahead and essentially loot the company from stem to stern and loot the tax, you know, the stockholders. And that's exactly what he did. He looted the stockholders, he looted his workers, he looted his customers. He went in and stole everything, and, you know, his share was, what, $16 million?
It's like a paper tonight. He didn't feel 1 ounce of remorse. He didn't give a shit.
Oh, he felt, you know, he said it was so unfair that he had to pay $400,000 back of the $16 million he stole, of his personal share. But essentially what happens is that they went ahead and took out hundreds of billions, and this one guy who worked there as a security guard said, well, yeah, I seen what happened, and essentially 400 jobs were lost in the Neosho area. You know, they used to make barbecue grills. They don't make barbecue grills there at Sunbeam anymore. You know what I mean? And previously somebody else had looted the Coleman company. So what we have is we just have a whole bunch of outsourcing. We have a whole bunch of other things here. And here's Mittens pretending he's going to change it. He's not. He's just nothing more than a wigger thief. He's just more than a wigger liar. This crap about going ahead and cutting essentially Medicare by what? By about $700 billion. He's bitching that Obongo did that. Well, hey, Obongo said, well, hey, Romney, you know, Obamacare is simply Romneycare written on all 50 states instead of just one.
There's not much difference between them.
There's no difference. There's no difference. Essentially what you do is you take young white workers who essentially are healthy and who don't need to go ahead and have most of the services. I mean, pretty well all this health care is just simply cost shifting. All is cost shifting. Instead of just people going ahead and paying to go ahead and use the hospital for fee, what they've done is they've gone ahead and socialized it with, you know, with Medicare and the rest here, to where, and insurance companies, and pretty well all Obamacare is meant to make white people pay for nigger care and beaner care. What happens is that my friend Pastor John Brent said that his mother used to have a good, you know, used to have, Medicare, Medicaid, whatever, to where essentially she didn't have to pay anything. And over the last 2-3 years, she's had to go ahead, make more and more and more of a copay, more and more and more of it. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So as a result, she has to go ahead and, you know, pay quite a bit. She has to go ahead and pay more and more and more and more.
The whole people that are on Social Security and that's all they got, if they don't...
Well, that Medicare, you know what I mean? She's what? You know, she's close to 90 now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And essentially, what happens is that what used to go ahead and be taken care of is no longer taken care of by white people. So essentially, here they are. They have a choice of going ahead and paying, you know, their medical bills, or eating, or getting their houses, you know, getting their house taken care of. And pretty well everything across this nation is being looted. It's being looted out by your local and state and federal governments here. And essentially, here it is getting close to the little dog and pony show. Now, there's some people who believe that Obongo went ahead and deliberately threw the past debate because he wants to make sure that he gets all the niggers and beaners out there working for him. I don't think that's the case. I think you've already seen how Obongo, if he doesn't have a teleprompter, he doesn't have a little Jew whispering his ears what to say. I mean, essentially, Obongo is just a homosexual Kenyan, you know, Muslim, you know, nigger faggot who don't really have that much of a brain in his head. He's just somebody who's been propped up by Jews. Brought in, Kenyan nigger faggot, Muslim faggot.
Well, all those high-level Jews pulling a string basically are telling him what to do. I mean,
yeah. Well, what happens is that I'm going to go ahead and make a little parody song here. The Dresden Dolls, what was the name of it here? Let me see. I'm going to go ahead and make a parody. I need to make a parody song called, what is it called here? The Dresden Dolls Coin Operated Boy here. Here, let me go ahead and take a little bit of that here. You know what I mean? Coin Operated Boy.
Sitting on the shelf, he is just a toy, but I turn him on, and he comes to life. Automatic joy, that is why I want.
Automatic joy.
Operated
joy.
Made of plastic and elastic, he is rugged and long lasting. Who could ever ask for more?
Coin operated guy. His name is Mitten. He is full of shit.
Cannot hold a candle to my new boy Amble. Never let him go. That I'll never be alone. Go, 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 go,
go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, Did you catch that?
Yeah. Hey, listen, we're still live, but I think Frankenwigger said he couldn't hear you all ago, so.
Well, it says I'm in here. A lot of people are going to have to log out and log back in here. This is just the nature of talk to you.
This thing reminds me of that Britney Spears song where she said, I'm just a Barbie girl or something, or I don't know if it's Britney Spears or some ditzy. Some ditzy blonde said, I'm just a Barbie girl in a Barbie world or something.
Yeah, I remember that here. I think it was, it may have been, what the heck was the name? Something here, but essentially a dozen, you know, call it coin operated boy, and then a Jew went ahead and made a joke about coin operated goy. You know what I mean? And essentially, that's all Mittens Romney is a coin operated goy. He's made of plastic and elastic. I mean, essentially, all he is just some little, you know, just some little. I reckon him with a shit sandwich offered by the Republican establishment. Nobody wanted this cocksucker two-thirds of the Republicans did not, you know, really closer to what? Oh, you know, really closer to, you know, he got about maybe close to 30%. Which means that, well, 70% of the Republican voters didn't want this worthless bastard. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You end up having a nigger. You end up having a, you know, you end up having a, you know, essentially a white woman, you know, assaulting, you know, restaurant nigger, going ahead and actually, you know, for a while, you know, the summer or spring, this nigger wasn't, you know, was above Old Mittens. And here in Missouri, you know, here in Missouri, old Rick Santorum got, what, 36% of the vote. Then Mittens was second, then Ron Paul. And essentially, Ron Paul and Mittens went ahead and stole old Santorum's delegates. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was all together, you know, and what happens when people went ahead and bitched about it? Why, hey, they called the police, they went ahead and, you know, did all this thing. So, essentially, what you end up having is just the same old thieves in the Republican Party wanting to go ahead and bring forward, you know, in this state, a Matt Blunt. Essentially a Matt Blunt and pretty well Jay Nixon, you know, a Democrat. He's a piece of shit. But essentially he's going to win re-election. They just have some, you know, businessman, a banker, and pretty well about this banker named Spence. Essentially his bank got $40 million in TARP funds. Of which he went ahead and stole, from what I gather, he stole a million of them TARP funds to go ahead and build himself a house. And now the Democrats are going in playing that. So, you know, but Claire McCaskill, she voted for TARP. I don't know, you know, Todd Akin at least didn't vote for TARP. You know, I'll probably miss not voting for Todd Akin, but essentially as I look at it, it's not my job to go ahead and save Whiggers from themselves here, save them from getting their ass whipped. You know what I mean? I don't really care. As I look at it, you know, the stupidest thing you could do is be as stupid.
So what's the contest to them? Basically, Whiggers are asking for it. They're going to get it.
They're going to get it. Why in the world would you want to save Whiggers from the folly? Why in the world here? Why in the world do it here? I mean, I pretty well advocate, essentially, don't even bother to vote. Don't even bother to pretend that this government at any level, is legitimate. I mean, essentially what happens there in power, you need to go ahead and pay with your lives and the lives of your children, your grandchildren, your brothers and your sisters, with the lives of your entire family for whatever crimes you commit while you're in office. And, no, I mean, you know, don't even bother pretend that democracy, you know, works here, that it's done anything other than fail us, you know, destroy us. What happens is that we are being destroyed essentially by peace. If you end up having this nation divided up into 10,000 little warlord seas, do you think you'd go ahead and, you know, you probably might have some areas which would be reserved for niggers and some areas which might be reserved for, you know, for red niggers. But essentially, Why would anybody go ahead and put up with essentially the incompetence, the stupidity, the greed, the idiocy that we have now today? Why even go ahead and put up with it? Why even go ahead and prop it up and vote for it?
I'll go.
Yeah. So, you know, pretty well, you know, John Britton, he went ahead and brought things up to a sort of head, and I decided that, hey, you know, anyone who I might want to go ahead and see, you know, get in there, who has a realistic chance, is old Todd Akin. But hell, hey, you know, Todd will go ahead and make it without my vote. What happens, though, is that he's, you know, he's not really gone ahead and gone against the establishment Republicans. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, okay.
So basically, Obama was ahead in the polls slightly, but, you know, all these wiggers are coming out saying, well, everybody's getting tired of Obama, and all those whites are going to, you know,
Well, what you got to understand, yeah, this is another thing.
You got too many niggers, you got too many spicks, you got too many foreigners, too many Muslims. Everybody loves Obama, even though he did a shitty job. I mean, none of the niggers except for David James Manning, he's about the only one that speaks out against Obama. Okay, none of the spicks are going to speak out against Obama. Basically, I don't see the wiggers rising up at all.
No, they're not. No. They're not. As long as they're wiggers, they're not going to rise up.
They're not going to stop Obama.
No, they're not going to. I mean, they don't, you know, I mean, look, Romney could simply go ahead and say, hey, look, nigger, you're not even an American citizen. No Republican is going to go ahead and support you.
Yeah.
You go ahead and get reelected, there's going to be civil war. But you got to understand is that nowadays, you know, it was just like, you know, when they first called it red and blue back in 2000.
Yeah.
Here are what? Oh, about 5,000 counties in the United States. 3,000 or so of them, three-fifths of these counties are for Bush. What happens is you can walk from one area, you can go ahead and go from the West Coast to the East Coast. You might have to go ahead and make a few little S-curves, but you can go ahead and go on contiguous red counties from one end of the country to the other. Without no problem. But it doesn't matter. You end up having, say, Cook County, Kansas City, Columbia, St. Louis and Missouri, I-70. You end up having these big cities like Chicago will go ahead and turn Illinois blue. California's the bluest of the blue states. But you end up having Portland and Oregon, and all these I-5, liberal-wigger places, and then Seattle and Washington turning Washington State blue. Essentially, you have a blue left coast because of these cities. Los Angeles, Sacramento, San Francisco, and they're going ahead and destroying California. Going ahead and liberal-wiggers, and then they fuck up, and then they go ahead and run, and from what I gather, they're turning Montana, they're turning Montana, Idaho, they're turning a number of other places blue here. So the Electoral College, and I heard Democrats talk about, essentially Democrats used to be pissed off at the Electoral College. Now, as they look at, the Electoral College will go ahead and make sure that Obongo wins. So here in Ohio, Obongo was 8 points ahead of Romney. What happens is that probably as a result of the debates here, he'll probably be 4 or 5 points ahead of Romney.
Yeah.
But you'll end up having, I think Obongo's going to win Florida. He's going to win Florida. He's going to go ahead and win Ohio. And essentially, he's up. He's up already. I think Mittens is going to lose. And pretty well it's understood. So maybe this was a deliberate blowout by the nigger and his two handlers. I don't think it was. It's just simply a stupid nigger who wasn't able to use a teleprompter, and old Mittens at the other hand just lied his head off. How are you going to go ahead and instead of taking about $1 trillion out of the defense budget to go ahead, do sequestering. How are you going to go ahead and do that? How are you going to go ahead at the same time, go ahead and bring Medicaid to the states, only give them 2/3 of my money, and they're nearly bankrupt as it is. And how are you going to go ahead and do that with the Ryan plan? And the answer is you're not. You're not. It's not going to happen. How are you going to go ahead and pay $5 trillion to have a war with Iran when you're pulling out, and that's what old Obongo did say, and he was right.
The fact that you just keep on printing trillions of more dollars with QE1, QE5, QE6.
Well, we're through QE, I think we're done with QE3, and now they're starting QE4. You know what I mean?
I mean, America's going to be broke. And by the time they start...
No, it's broke now.
All they want to do is they want to piss off China, Russia, and Iran enough, you know, basically that they come over here and start and destroy America. That's basically what, I mean, the Jews had to get World War III going, and basically, you know, the Rothschilds and the Illuminati had their underground bunkers, and they could care less if the whole world's nuked. I mean, basically, they think they're going to defeat Yahweh. You know, basically, Satan and his kids think that they're going to destroy Yahweh, pretty much.
Well, they always do here, yeah.
They're sick. I mean, really.
Well, I'm looking at Putin here. He has a, you know, he has a number of notions here. But, folks, I mean, you go ahead. I mean, am I right or am I right here? I mean, I don't think, yeah, I've heard some people say they'll bongo deliberately, went ahead and threw number one so you get your old mittens here and then destroy them in number two and number three. I don't think it is. I was looking at the nigger. Essentially, he was making little nigger faces. You know, he was actually talking more than old Mittens, but old Mittens was lying his ass off. Mittens was, you know, pulling Jeremy Visser. He was lying his ass off about how, you know, how you're going to go ahead, essentially, and not only not take $1 trillion out of the, you know, Defense Department, but you're going to go ahead and put $5 trillion in. And essentially, if Obama would have had some brains, he would have said, what do you mean you're going to put $5 trillion? Instead of taking $1 trillion out, you're going to put $5 trillion in? Well, who the hell are you going to have another war with? Iran? I mean, if I was Obama, I'd say, hey, there's a difference between, you know, here's the biggest difference between me and Mitt. What happens is that if I get elected, there's not going to be a war with Iran. There's not going to be a war with Iran. We're going to go ahead and deal with Iran as best we can. But in any case here, there's not going to be a war with Iran here over nothing. If you go ahead and elect Mittens, why, hey, he doesn't want to not only take $1 trillion out of the defense budget, he wants to go ahead and put an additional $5 trillion in. That's $6 trillion. How are you going to go ahead and pay for that if you're not going to go ahead and have your rich buddies, you know, do a tax cut? Where's this money going to come from? Where's this money going to come from for this next war here? At least I've been trying to go ahead and get out of the Bush wars, the Republican wars. And, you know, that's what Mittens went in, you know, that's what Obama went in and said here. Really, for all practical purposes, if you really want to fuck up the white race, vote for Mittens. Mittens will fuck it up worse here. Yes, now, you know, at least Obongo, what happens, he'll shuck and jive. When it comes down to it, Obongo is a, well, he's a Kenyan Muslim nigger faggot. You know what I mean? You know, and being a nigger, you know, being a Muslim nigger faggot, he doesn't want to go ahead and go against his pal, you know, his racial brethren, the Palestinians, does he?
No.
So what happens is that, you know, but I'm not going to vote for the nigger. Are you going to vote for the nigger?
You start World War III with Iran, and all the nigger Obongo will do is play golf and go on vacations.
Well, he'll just go ahead and pretend, you know, just like when you end up having what, 3 weeks ago? You know, here comes Al-Qaeda. You know, stupid nigger goes ahead and overthrows Gaddafi duck. So now the Al-Qaeda people are in charge, and they go ahead and, you know, they go ahead and kill this Uyghur faggot ambassador. You know, they go ahead and kill that cocksucker on the crapper. Well, my God, they go ahead and shove a bayonet up his ass, up that faggot's ass. And so here, you know, here he is, bleeding and shitting all over the fucking crapper here. It's just, you know, he's probably being gelded. Who knows here? But essentially, you know, here comes this Uyghur faggot here. His blood is all over the fucking crapper where he's gone ahead and run to. And essentially, here's Al-Qaeda going ahead and running it here. And here's the nigger going ahead pretending it was a mob that did this shit. No, it's a military operation. Hell, the nigger and the media went ahead and lied to the Zoglings about it. You know what I mean? Now it's coming out. But is Mittens going to say anything about it? No, he don't want a war with Libya. He wants a war with Iran. So he's going to go ahead and go along with that lie. He's not going to go ahead and give Obongo a hard time. So,
yeah.
You know, so why worry here? I mean, Mittens is no friend of the white race. Obongo is no friend of the white race. So let the thieves go ahead and fuck over the Uyghurs. The only smart thing to do if you're a white man, essentially, is not go ahead and give any support, moral or mental, and certainly not financial, to these people who have been doing nothing but feed you shit sandwiches for the past 30 years. You know what I mean? Piss down your leg and tell you it's raining. Why even bother with doing that? And, you know, folks, I don't see the point to do it. I really don't. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Basically, don't encourage stupidity and don't encourage wiggers, because wiggers don't, basically, they don't need any help anyway. Because they already did a good job.
They're already fucked up. Why bother with it? Don't bother worrying about it.
If you're a white net, if you're dual seed line and you're a white remnant, basically, the best thing you need to do is prepare yourself and your family, your loved ones, for a great tribulation. And just forget about wiggers. Wiggers aren't going to listen. Wiggers aren't even going to save their own worthless ass. So don't even, I mean, basically, I'm not even going to laugh at them. I'm just going to get as far away from wiggers as I can.
Well, so. What you do in many cases, there's this guy, he's a Covingtonista here. What happens is that he lives in Canada. He wants to go ahead and move to the Northwest here, but he doesn't have any money. So I tell him, why don't you go ahead and get on VNNF here, and essentially, tell everybody you're a white nationalist, but don't mention my name to, Craig Cobb. Do not mention, whatever you do, do not mention Covington's name to, when you go ahead and join on VNNF, go ahead and get on using a proxy server. And from what I gather, what does the dumbass do? He does everything I tell him not to do. He goes ahead and logs on VNNF, goes ahead and uses his real name, says he likes, Harold Covington, and essentially gets his ass banned or not even allowed to log on over on VNNF here. You know what I mean? The guy did not, this guy did not even fucking listen to what I told him not to do. He did everything I told him not to do, and none of what I told him to do. And you end up having people, and then they wonder, why am I fucked here? Well, look, Craig Cobb, I don't have so much a problem with Craig Cobb, and I don't know if Craig or Corn Cobb has a problem with me, but you don't go ahead and do stupid shit. You don't go ahead and do stupid shit. Well, it looks like the real William B. is on. Do you want to go ahead and take about a 2-minute break and have the real William B. on?
I've got to get up early tomorrow anyway, so I'm going to let William B. have it.
Okay.
Show tomorrow. I'll send an email out. I've already got a show.
Yeah, you already got your show scheduled. What are you going to discuss tomorrow anyway?
We did finish Matthew, so I guess we could keep on going in the
Mark.
Sure. We'll do Mark. We'll start with Mark, and then if you want to call in, I hadn't heard from Russ in a while. Last time I talked to him, he's been real busy. So yeah, if you want to call in, somebody, and then we may have other callers too. But sure.
Well, I don't know if Russ is going to be in or not. I mean, if he is, he is. If he ain't, he ain't here. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know Russ's other phone number. So it'd be up to Russ to go ahead and call you, or maybe call me, or do whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll call Russ tomorrow and see if he wants to be a guest tomorrow on my show. I'll see what he may not feel like it, but being a Friday night, and I don't think with his job, I don't think he has to work Saturday. He may want to. So we'll see.
He might. You never know with Russ for. Besides, when you're in, it's closer to when he's in. Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead. We're going to take a, I'll see you tomorrow, Logan here at 7 o'clock p.m. Central Time. It'd be what, 8 o'clock Eastern? And essentially, we'll go ahead and do a show, and we'll cover the Book of Matthew and whatever else might come up, okay?
Hey, Victory. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Tell Victory. All right, folks, 2-minute break, and then I'm going to go ahead and Real William B. will be on the line, folks, so hail Victory. Thank you.
Okay, folks, we're back for the next section. I muted the real William B., and I'm asked to get myself back on. How you doing, William B.?
Oh, I'm doing good, Pastor. How you doing?
Oh, well enough. I don't know if you heard yesterday night's the Pisser Possum, I call it the Pisser Possum Turds number 7, or as they call it, the OB Gender Bender and Pisser Possum Show.
No, I did. I kind of dialed in late, but I actually rewinded it later on, and I heard how that faggot was slandering me, but, you know, whatever.
Well, he was slandering much here. You know, I pretty well told Jeremy Visser that, I don't really believe that Olga Visser is Visser's mother.
Well, but, you know, the thing about it is why is she Facebook friends with Jasmine Jacko and Serena Visser then?
Well, she might be someone who is married
did
to
you,
another.
Did you look at the link?
Yeah, I did go ahead.
That is not by coincidence.
I say it's by coincidence. I don't think that this woman is Jeremy Visser's mother, though.
Well, maybe it's an unmarried sister. I doubt it, because he said he never had any sisters.
I don't think it's a sister. I think it might be.
It could be maybe Ron Visser's wife or something?
No, it ain't Ron Visser's wife, because essentially, you know, he's married to a Puerto Rican name named Bueno Vito.
No. That's Sean Visser. Sean Visser
that's
and Ron Visser are two different people.
You think so?
Yeah, of course.
Well, what happens, Visser claims that Ron Visser was the race mixer here. And he pretends that Sean Aaron Visser, I think it's Sean Aaron Visser. I think they're the same thing.
You need to listen to what they say, when they say it, and where they say it, and when.
Well, I don't know. You know, William, I mean, what happens that Visser, well, I'll just go ahead and compare an old mittens, you know, to Visser.
You remember how he said, oh, Sean is my brother and he's a race mixer, blah, 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 way back when John Britton was on the call and I was on the call. And then all of a sudden a year later, oh, I don't know who that is. And then a year later, oh, yeah, my brother's a racer. So this guy flip-flops, you know?
Well, he does flip-flop. I remember in 2009, from one together, you know, I think it's Sean Aaron Visser, when he had married. I'm looking, this Olga Visser, she looks like, to me, she looks like a Russian or Ukrainian. Don't have a real flat nose like a Ukrainian, but she looks like she's, you know, Russian or something like that. She has, you know, she has blue eyes, she has blonde hair, but
aside, why is she Facebook friends with both Jasmine Jacko and Serena Visser? Right?
Because she might be married, or she might end up having a name, or she might be.
She's related to this guy.
A Russian.
You don't just randomly link to people, okay? This person is related to this guy, okay?
All right, but I don't think it's Visser's mother.
Maybe it may or may not be his mother. He said his mother was dead in one phrase on that show.
He said that at the beginning,
and then way down later in the show, he said, "Oh, it's not my mother. Her name is something else." Like she was a liar.
Well, what happens is that
the guy's a fucking liar.
So what is your mother's name? And then Visser said, Miletus.
Yeah, exactly.
Miletus.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, exactly.
I sang a little song called For It Was Miletus, Miletus. You know, sound as any mantras can be. Jeremy threatened to go ahead and ban me if I said Jeremy Visser is a blank, you know what I mean? So I pretty well stuck that. What happens is that Visser will be polite to Logan and be digging its dirt, and Visser will be real polite to me. He'll be polite to John Britton. I remember toward the middle of December here, right around Christmas, you know, I'm doing a show. And what happens is that John Britton is talking to Visser. And pretty well, I mean, they end up talking for about 2 hours, and all I'm doing is just, heck, it's cold in this computer room. I am just, you know, listening in on the cell phone.
Well, I mean, you know.
On the cell phone. Well, he's going ahead, and he's being real polite to Visser. And I said, I thought you were going to beat Visser's ass. And John Britton said, I am going to beat Visser's ass when I catch the little bastard, but I'm sort of hoping to go ahead and find out where Brian Wright lives so I can beat his ass first. And,
he reminds me of me.
Okay.
What's to beat some people up? I love it.
Well, he does want to beat Visser's ass here, but on the other hand, he doesn't want to go all the way to Atlanta.
He was kind of humble in the last interview you did with him. I thought that was kind of interesting, you know.
Well, he was actually
quite civil.
Well, it's just like old Logan went ahead and seen him saying something about, you know, Cherokee, you know, in red niggers being redder than earth or something like that. And I point out that's exactly what Visser was saying on Stumbleend, you know, after he disappeared and he went ahead and wrote Elmer's Glue Works Best. He did it as much place as he could do at Stumbleend where I was the moderator. You know what I mean? That's when I first seen it here. But he gone ahead and taken off all his posts. Or put, you know, Elmer's Glue Works Best, some stupid shit like that, over on Air in Front, over on Finkelschini's, because he had a sub for him over Finkelschini's. He went ahead and did it. He went ahead and did it on Stumbleend, and he knew better than even try it on my forum here, where he was, you know, where he's a member there. And
right.
What happens? What I immediately did is I went in there and I changed the, you know. See, I'm not able, as a V-Bulletin moderator or administrator, I'm not able to see what the password is. However, what I can do is simply keep the account by just simply changing the password, you know, and unless you're able to guess what the password is, which you're not going to be able to, you know, chances are, I mean, essentially I can go ahead and take over account. So I took over Visser's account, then over at Stumbleend, okay, I couldn't do anything about Elmer's Glue Works Best in the places where Visser wasn't on there, but in many cases, people responded so you knew exactly what the hell Visser had said. He wasn't able to change anybody else's post. So anyway, after he went ahead and admitted that, you know, Sean Aaron Visser was his brother and he was, you know, this is what he looked like and, you know, essentially, you know, he's married to this darker Puerto Rican woman here. She's a nigger. She's a nigger daughter named Jasmine and his real daughter's name is Serena, you know, and all this sort of thing. You know, pretty well that's how Visser got out of the stalking charges, by simply saying, I'm not a white supremacist. Hell, I'm not even white. Look at my brother. And what he was doing in December is he was going ahead and over, you know, he went ahead and brought up, you know, the day after, I think it was the 2nd of December, he goes ahead and gets on Eli James, claims that, I'm claiming that, you know, he's bombing, you know, that he's dressed up as a bomber, which was a lie. I never said anything about that on my forum. In fact, this time my forum was down on both Hostmonster and it was down on Hostmonster and it was down on 1and1.com. You know, Brian Rio had gone ahead and taken it down.
I mean, Pastor, you do realize that I'm somehow manipulating you.
Oh,
I'm your puppet master, according to Gender Bender. Remember that one?
Okay. Well, old gender bender is such a freaking tard. Yeah, the critter doesn't even realize here, when you end up having an Anchorage activist go ahead and point out is that, okay, you know, you have Zogbuster call him an Aussie poker, you end up having Anchorage activist who initially was not no friend of mine. And still is, you know, somewhat a little bit hostile to me, but not altogether. I guess, you know, I mean, our big fight was over Alex Linder and Trader Glenn Miller. And what happens is that today I was looking to see what was going on in the movement. And pretty well, DNNF here has really gone downhill. I went ahead and noticed that OPTT Tony has been banned as the end of August. You know what I mean? for, I guess, being, you know, too much of a Christian.
I mean, I don't even bother with going to those sites anymore.
Well, I go there to see what the hell's being said. And essentially, Alex Linder really wasn't commenting at all about the Mittens Obongo, you know, debate. What Linder wants to pretend is that the, quote, success of Golden Dawn is somehow his doing. And essentially, as if, you know, we need to have a party like Golden Dawn. And I point out, this is essentially a right-wing party, a nationalist party of a bunch of brown people. You know, that's what the Greeks are. They're a bunch of brown people. I've been to Athens. I've been to Greece. You know, I was in Athens, Greece for 3-4 days, but I was down there in Crete firing a missile, 30 years ago, well, better than 30 years ago, firing a missile into the ocean, you know, around May 1st of 1982. And essentially, the Greek people are a bunch of brown people. And they don't like, you know, being told this, but they look pretty well like a bunch of Turks, you know, because that's, you know, pretty much what they are. You know, they got a lot of Turkish, you know, input, you know what I mean? And what the heck does a bunch of Greek nationalists who, you know, they're brown people. They're not like Quakers. They're not going to go ahead and put up with this, you know, butt screwing forever here. And I'm going ahead and looking. Essentially, OPT Tony had 10,000 posts nearly, close to 10,000 posts. And pretty well, you go ahead and look, is that, you know, here's Alex Linder. He's gone ahead and he's pretty well kicked off pretty well everybody who was with him in 2003. Stevie Buck, I mean, pretty well everybody. And now all he got is a bunch of ass-licking tards, you know, there now. Yes, master, no master, three bags full, master, may I lick your colostomy bag? And here you have had it. And, you know, they're going ahead and, well, I was talking about this one tard. He did every dang thing I told him not to, because I was trying to go ahead and get him to have Craig Cobb sort of take him under his wing in North Dakota. And old Craig Cobb got kicked out of Canada, supposedly. So, hey, you know, if anybody knows how to go ahead and get you a job in North Dakota, if you're a Canadian citizen, it's Craig Cobb. I just simply said, get on VNNF here. You know, send a private message. Don't mention my name. Don't mention Christianity. Don't mention Christian Identity. And above all, don't mention Harold Covington.
Yeah.
And Appleton Tard goes ahead and does everything I tell him not to do. And he's not even allowed to join the NNF. He's probably IP banned by now by Linder. You know what I mean?
Probably.
And, you know, I mean, shoot. I mean, if I go ahead and private email tell you to do something here, chances are there's a reason for it here. You know, don't hang around April Gady. She's a real cunt. You know, don't, you know, I mean, you know, Craig Cobb, you know, Corn Cobb is not altogether a bad person here. It's just that he's some of a creatard, and essentially you understand that here. You don't mention Christian Identity. You don't really want to mention my name so much, although that's more topic to April Gady, because I've gone ahead and made a number of, you know, little songs about April Gady, but you don't want to do a number of things, and essentially this guy goes ahead and he acts like a tard. And he does everything I tell him not to do, and then
So I heard that thing with you and Keith Southworth going at it. That guy sounds like a total Pentecostal linthead. I mean, he was going on about how the Canaanites are the same as the Israelites. I mean, it was like, man, this guy is off, but, you know, he doesn't even understand Christian Identity, you know?
Well, everybody in Christian Identity, they got it wrong.
Kind of like a nut job.
And so...
sounded like a complete nut job.
Well, he was a complete nut job. He's a Baptist or Pentecostal windhead of some sort. He believes in ever-burning hell. He essentially believes, you know, he doesn't believe in getting rid of Paul, but obviously by grace are you saved. Grace has nothing to do with it. And here he was trying to go ahead. All these Christian Identity people got wrong. What happens is that Sheila is an Israelite because, his genealogy is mentioned in the Book of Chronicles, which is nothing but genealogy. And, you know, Simeon had nothing but Canaanite bastard. So he goes to, 46 verse 10, and, you know, I go ahead and look, and, you know, Simeon had five sons who were, you know, regular Simeonites. They were white people. And then it says at the very end, you ended up having another little mongrel bastard named Shaul through a Canaanite woman. It just goes ahead and throws this little mamber in.
When he was trying to say that.
Hey, look, you know, look, Keith, you can't go ahead, essentially just run them all in as they're Canaanites because they live close to there and because they're mentioned. You've got to go ahead and cover Genesis 38, verses 1 through 3 or 4, and you have
That's
to go
right.
ahead and actually look at what
verse
you said, 46:10 said. And essentially,
right.
you know, essentially, why are you trying to go ahead and say that Canaanites are Israelites and Israelites are Canaanites and then claim
exactly.
that they're Levites? You know, I mean, this doesn't make any sense. I
it
mean,
was retarded. It was stupid.
Well, it was retarded.
That is not Christian identity.
No, it's not. It's certainly not dual seed line. You know what I mean?
No, absolutely.
Well, you know, what the?
Absolutely.
I mean, I went ahead and talked soon after with Pastor John Britton, and essentially he knew exactly who, you know, the Shelites was, and this. He went ahead and knew offhand who this little Simeonite bastard was here. And he says, Shaul, oh, yeah, what happened? They became the scribes and the Pharisees, and they were the most evil of the quote, Jews. They're the very beginning of the Jews, and they're the ones who were sent to go ahead and teach the Talmud to these Khazar Hittites here who had lapsed into paganism. And, under King Bulan here, they were the most evil. They were the most evil of the Sephardics here. You know, because they were not only through Esau, they were also through, Shaul and, Sheila were, they were the most evil of these Canaanite little mixtures at all here. He knew exactly who these characters were. And essentially what Keith does is he'll whine like a pussy if you even disagree with him here. Let me finish. Keith, I don't know if you've heard about anal, passive. Keith is anal aggressive. You know what I mean?
He sent me a nasty email.
He sent me a nasty email, demanding me take off his list, and I'd screwed up by going in. He's sending him, so I'm pretty well taking his name off, the list for this sort of thing here.
Well, he sounds like one of these Pentecostal linheads. I would not listen to him.
Well, I went ahead and did. I ended up doing, 8, 9 shows with him. But he just got more and more and more obnoxious. And so what it boiled down to is that I'm going to hell because I don't believe in hell. And I pointed out hell is a Babylonian concept. I pointed out is that the wages of sin is death, according to Paul. Not eternal life in the lake of fire. And then when he'd go ahead and read, he'd go ahead and read Revelation chapter 20, and, he doesn't believe in paper spreader source shit. But the problem is at the very end of Revelation chapter 20, it says that death and hell are cast in the lake of fire. Why is that, Keith? Answer, because Yahweh doesn't need death and hell anymore because there's nothing left other than the people, the white people, who have gone ahead and put on a spiritual body.
He don't like that answer.
Well, I've caught him several times here. He's just like these Baptists. I used to go ahead when I was in jail. There was this Grace Baptist Church. By grace are you saved. He loved Paul. Essentially, by grace are you saved. It's done by grace. And I went ahead and pointed out to this guy is that here you are with a bunch of criminals and perverts and, mamzer fees and all this sort of thing. Essentially, by your grace are you saved. Anybody who goes ahead and quote, believes in Jesus Christ and said, look, what you're doing is you're eating a whole dumpster full of garbage in order to save one half rotten grape. That's not very smart. But the guy did actually believe. He was a nice guy here. But he's one of these old Whigger Baptist preachers here who believe by grace are you saved. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And essentially you go ahead and you see these people and they talk in tongues and they do something and essentially, Keith has gotten his way into Christian identity, but, why all these Christian identity people are wrong because, some of them actually believe in dual seed line Christian identity. And so he got all mad when I said, why are you here, Keith? Why are you here? If you believe Canaanites are Israelites, and Israelites are Canaanites based upon lumping them all together, and because they live close, which was a sin, why are you here? He got mad. He hung up. So then here comes Kennewick. This is the funny part. Here comes Kennewick man, or George Takei. Takei is gay. Anyway, he's pretending to be this Japanese faggot, who played Mr. Sulu. And basically, he's going ahead, I wish I could talk to Keith. I wish I could talk to Keith here. And then Keith goes ahead and comes back, and I mute Keith here. And by this time, old George Takei, or Kennewick man, is making quite clear he wants to go ahead and virtually homosexual proposition old Keith here. So I go ahead and I mute Keith and, let old George Takei do his work here. And then finally Keith catches on, he gets mad and he hangs up again. And I thought that was hilarious. And I guess you had to be there. But I thought it was hilarious. So anyway, still there, William?
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, I thought it was hilarious. But no, you end up having, I went ahead and talked about John Britton. He went ahead and asked me again, why are you doing these shows? Why are you doing these shows? And I said, well, it ain't really to go ahead and save anybody, but it is because essentially I want people not to go ahead and look for salvation within white nationalism, and certainly not within Christian identity. I refer to the above-ground Christian identity people as the wandering mamsers of Wikipedia Talks QCI. Pretty well, Eli James has managed to go ahead and get on RBN by convincing them retards that he's been censored by the ATL. Well, I think the ADL essentially deliberately took down his pathetic little web page. And I think, I'm not quite sure about Finkelstein yet, but I think the same thing may have occurred. But essentially, Fink has a problem in that he's with Brian Real, and he can't really go ahead and sue 1&1.com because, hey, Brian Real went ahead and took down my web page, not really upon a DMCA complaint because I went ahead and counter-noticed it. They took it down under terms of service. So essentially, maybe in order to go ahead and protect their ass from a lawsuit by myself, they said, well, hey, yeah, we went ahead and we're pretending that we're going to police our content, even though the DMCA says we don't have to. So if we're going to go ahead and police our content, and we go ahead and keep Finkelstein's thing up, well, hey, we'll be at risk of being sued by Wednesday. But I think really the point of the matter was, is that Fink has gone ahead and taken all these Baal priest churches here. UCOI, which was a Rick Spring, thing. He's gone ahead and taken a number of them, put them all together under one roof here. And essentially, I think Brian Real is an AD, anti-racist activist. And essentially, they decided they didn't want to go ahead and even have false Christian identity under one roof here. So essentially, they made Finkelstein go ahead and put it out. But I noticed in the last couple of times here is that Eli James has gotten now more listeners than the Finkelstein does, and the reason of it is that here you have all these mamsers that won't pretend to be Christian identity, and you can't go ahead and pretend that you're pure-blooded Aryan. Essentially, if you're going ahead and listen to a known mamser like Brian Real, go ahead and do the Hitler worship hour Saturday nights with Fink. But on the other hand, Eli James has a whole bunch of mamsers. Rebecca M. from Mudshark, Isaiah 14, Ethan 24, Dutch Homa, and, pretty well, they go ahead and say, well, my daughter is half Cherokee. Where is that Lutheran Christian identity? Answer, well, here, you're either a mud shark or you're a mamser yourself, which is it? So, anyway, pretty much above ground, Wikipedia Talks QCI has pretty well, I think it's pretty well burned itself out. It's just nothing but, wall-to-wall mamsers and the rest here. Anyway, anything else, William B.? William, still there?
No, Pastor. I was listening to you.
Okay. Well, you have a bunch of these. What was funny is that when Eli James had his first show on RBN, He was stupid enough to go ahead. He already had the thing for Sunday morning up. So essentially here he was over on RBN, but here comes all these tards, and they get his chat room. And old Rebecca M. says, well, my daughter is half, you know, is half Cherokee. You know, what's the Christian daddy point here? And I said, well, hey, you know, it just means you're either a mud shark, or you're a Wigger mud shark, or you're a Mamsers yourself here. And she couldn't do a dang thing because Eli James and Greggy Howard were on RBF here. But the last 2 weeks here, here comes Jeremy Visser. He goes in. He's usually a tinkle sheet, but he goes over to Eli's. And immediately when I go ahead and see Eli, I go ahead and, you know, troll old Visser over on Eli's. And then Eli goes ahead, you know, Eli James goes ahead and, you know, mutes the, you know, the troll. So immediately I go ahead and get these four computers up, and I just troll the crap out of Eli James. And, you know, so, I mean, it's just hilarious here. But I did notice Eli James did show up on what Visser's call a week or so ago at the very end. And Visser's, you know, pretty well claimed he's going to go ahead and get a bunch of his other Mamser and, you know, TARD buddies, you know, to go ahead and call in. But I just don't know if I see it coming. You understand what I mean? Over at Wickstra, over at Galette's here, I was going ahead and looking at that pathetic little, you know, little march they had in Washington.
I mean, I was kind of pissed off about how this Obadiah was slandering me. You know?
Well, what do you expect?
He was saying I was gay. You know, I know he is gay. But he was saying other things about me that aren't true, you know?
What do you expect to be said about by a Jew, Mamser, faggot, possibly transsexual? What do you expect to be said by a critter like that?
Well, yeah, of course.
What do you expect? I mean, it's sort of funny that, you know, pretty well anybody who has dealings with the character, like Anchorage activist, when he goes ahead and makes a save, I was going ahead and looking at this old screenshot. What happens is that Anchorage activist calls the screenshot Oba Gender Bender. I mean, that's pretty well the name. That's pretty well the name that everybody else has for old Obi. Calls it Obi Gender Bender. You know what I mean? They usually don't bother calling the Pisser Pussy Possum, but yeah, that's exactly what it does here. So, when old Obi Gender Bender went ahead and came up with a little thing, Obi and Visser. Well, that was nice of that here. So I went ahead and cut out the little Obi and Visser thing here. And then I went ahead and looked up a YouTube Googled possum screwing. And essentially I found a number of YouTube videos about possum screwing here. And I went ahead and took a picture of, you know, one possum mating, you know, mounting another here. And they have a tendency, you know, they're not very friendly here when they mate here. They're always scratching and hissing and biting each other while they're copulating here. So anyway, I have Obi and Visser, then underneath the picture, two possums screwing. So that's what the Obi and Visser show is about here. And I let people, you know, guess as to which possum is on top. But So. I mean, yeah, the best way to deal with these characters is ridicule. It's just total ridicule. And essentially, Obi Gender Bender doesn't have hardly anybody really there. When the critter went ahead and kicked off old Mumps Nut about a month or so ago, pretty well, you know, he's down from 2.5 Mamsers down to just one Mamser, Obi Gender Bender. Nobody bothers to post there. What I found amazing here is old lying Larry Blanchard went ahead and went after Visser for copyright infringement. And heck, old Obi's form is a place to go ahead and get quite a few CI books here. I'm going ahead and downloaded my share in the CI reading room of Obi Gender Bender. So maybe I guess I'm guessing sort of stealing intellectual property. Most of it's sort of retarded anyway. But anyway, You know, that might have been part of the reason this was a little bit constrained, because Larry Blanchard went ahead and took down Visser's webpage for about half a day or so. You know, you did hear about that, right?
No, I didn't. What's that about?
Well, what happens last Monday, what happens is that Larry Blanchard, I don't know if you know who Larry Blanchard is or not, do you?
No, I don't.
Okay. You know who Clint Downey and her little meerkat Mark are, don't you?
Yeah, I know who that is.
I know who that guy is. Blanchard and used to be the minister to Clint Downey and her little meerkat Mark here back when they lived in, you know, the peninsula, you know, the Puget Sound Peninsula of Washington State here.
Right.
What happens is that Blanchard started out as a Methodist ministry, and his first thing as a Methodist was being sent over to the Philippines after he graduated from seminary, and pretty well preaching the word of dog to the little, you know, to the little boom boom girls and boom boom boys and Subic Bay or Manila or whatever here. I don't know how successful he was. But old Andy Anderson used to be married to one of the Boom Boom girls, and his sister was married to one of the Boom Boom boys, and their sister was married to a Jew boy. And essentially what they were is they were single seed lines with a little bit of Gerda Koch's No Devil, Sheldon Emery's No Devil Horseshit. So a little bit of one seed line and No Devil. And pretty well, he went ahead and was Clint and Meerkat Mark's minister up there. And then he abruptly, you know, had old Meerkat Mark was a graphics artist, and he went ahead and did the first couple covers of Blanchard's little books here, which was a combination of single seed line, a little bit of dual seed line, a little bit of no devil. And I was only able to read a little bit of Blanchard's bullshit. It's nearly as boring as Mark Downey's bullshit. You know, I mean, it's pretty well a toss-up. But I did go ahead and download four books of Blanchard's on Visser's forum. I got them somewhere on my hard drive. But in any case, Blanchard went ahead and ran off abruptly to Tennessee in 2001. And so here's Meerkat Mark and Clint Downey, and they're no longer in the Klan. They've been sort of kicked out of the Klan or whatever. She divorced the Grand Dragon. She used to be a sexual mascot as well. And essentially they're sort of on the outs here. And they, you know, the dual seedliners are all pissed off at them. So then he pisses off Pete Peters by talking crap about them. So essentially they're on the outs here, so he runs off, and then old Clint makes her little meerkat Mark into a minister. And I went in and joked about how he got ordained by Clint, you know, through an ungodly mixture of Crisco, Jergens lotion, you know, and Clint stanky. He didn't want to scare me for me saying that, but in any case, somewhere around 2002 he went in and laid hands on himself and ordained himself, or Clint did. And then, sometime, you know, I think maybe when I was in Nut House, they went ahead and ran, you know, went ahead and sold out. You know, his parents used to, you know, have rental houses and stuff like that. Maybe they died. But he went ahead and he moved to Kentucky. You know, pretty well after old Larry. Well, anyway, Larry, from my years, went on to Fredericksburg, Texas here, which is north of San Antonio. And essentially, he went ahead and wrote a number of books here, and he's just, you know, the previous Monday, he went ahead and wrote out a DMCA complaint because he was complaining about Visser. Quit putting my books up on your website where people can go ahead and download them for free. I mean, that's costing me money, that's costing me sales. And from my gear, Visser wouldn't pay a damn bit of attention to it. And maybe that's because Visser's a Sogbot. I think that's part of the reason. But essentially what happens is he went ahead and he found Visser's Wild West Domains. He didn't actually find it. He went ahead and wrote to the copyright people of Wild West Domains. Went ahead and pointed out where Visser was infringing all his copyright and they took him down for a day or half a day, and then Visser had to go ahead and disable or delete or do whatever with the links, and so he was allowed to go ahead and put his web page back up. And that's, you know, that's what happened here. Well, a whole Anchorage activist thinks that the ADL was just taking down Jeremy Visser. And you know, I was trying to tell people is that, no, this is a criminal. Every time he gets in trouble, every time he gets in some sort of trouble, he goes ahead and takes down his web pages. In 2004, he took them down four times. You know, once for a month, and then, what, this other time for dang near, what, 2 months, when he was trying to get out of the stalking charge. So Visser, every time he gets in trouble, he goes ahead and takes down his webpage. And also, Visser, being a criminal, goes ahead and, well, you know, that's part of the way a criminal goes ahead and deals with stuff. When, you know, the criminal comes to attention and a warrant might be served, he goes ahead and goes into hiding. He pretty well claimed back when I was friendly with him in early 2009, he was urging me to be buddies with Sci-Fi Faber and get an alliance with him. He claimed that he hid out from the law for 6 years for a manslaughter, for a murder charge. And I didn't believe that. But, you know, Visser is just simply a Morrison criminal. So, anyway. Well, it looks like 21 got his little words in. Okay. Anyway, you still there?
I'm still here, Pastor.
Okay, but anyway, that's what happened. Is that old, you know, Larry? You know, Larry had enough of Clinton Downey and the rest in 2001, 2002, ran off to Texas. Now he's in Fredericksburg, and essentially, that's why his webpage was taken down. Is because Larry Blanchard, quite rightly, went ahead and said, "Hey, look, he's costing me sales of my book." By having, you know, by going ahead, essentially allowing anybody to download, you know, copies of my book. Now, I'd already gone ahead and downloaded, a year or two ago, I and Larry's book here, and I actually read as much as I could stand of one of them. But, Larry.
Hey, Pastor, yeah. Can we talk about some Bible scripture? That would be good.
Okay, well, we could. You want to go ahead and take a break about the gossip or anything like that? And what scripture?
No, I was thinking about something from the book of Esau, you know?
Well, okay.
Something about Esau.
Okay, well, we could go ahead and I could go ahead and cover how Keith is a retard. You know?
That would be good. That would be great. Let's do it.
Okay. Well, do you want me to, you know, see, the thing about it is that, would you want me to go ahead and, you know, mute you or whatever? Because, see, the problem of it is I don't like having mixed people, you know, mixed calls to talk to you.
No, I won't talk. I won't talk. You go ahead and just... Do what you got to do. I won't talk.
All righty. Well, let's go ahead and take a break then, because I pretty well talked enough about old Jeremy, you know, I imagine. And we'll go ahead and take about a 2 or 3 minute break, and I'll go ahead and figure out what to go ahead and talk about, okay? And we'll talk about Canaanites, you know, tonight here, and how they do not belong in Israel. You know, be they mamzers, be they...
Yeah, that would be a good closing.
Okay. All right, folks. Well, Eli James used to be on there. From my gather, he got booted off of Blog Talk. So, folks, let's go ahead and take a break here. I think I'm pretty well covered by how Whiggers don't... you know, white people don't owe Whigger and Whigger politicians anything. So, folks, we're going to go ahead and take about a 2 or 3 minute break.
Hey,
folks,
Pastor, I'm going to go ahead and log off, but you go ahead and, yeah, that would be a good, great sermon.
Okay. We'll go ahead and talk about how Mamzers and the rest of them have always been trying to go ahead and get in Christian identity.
God bless you. Yahweh bless.
Israel, even in back in the old days. So, folks,
God bless you, brother.
All right.
Hail victory. Yahweh bless. We'll be right back.
Revolution is the proof. All the lies, lies imposed by the Jews. 6 million of the Jewish race. Evidence, there's not a trace. Impossibility, the Cyclone B. They try to fool you, not me. They didn't want the white man to be free. Forgery is what they have to do to propagate the lives of those evil Jews. Well, National Socialism didn't die. The truth broke through. There would have been your life. 6 million of the Jewish race. Evidence, there's not a trace. Impossibilities of Cyclone B. They tried to fool you, not me. A white society. This society is one to the core. It's there for us in this forthcoming war. We're by the landlords, he will surely win. Bring forth the traditions of our kith and kin. 6 million of the Jewish race. Evidence, there's not a trace. Impossibility to Cyclone B. Try to fool you, not me.
Okay, well, William B. got me to do a little bit of Bible study, so we're going to go ahead and do about how we've always had the Jew among us. Now, when I talk about the Jew, I'm talking about, well, the Canaanite, the spawn of Satan. You see, dual seed line Christian identity holds, and unlike British Israelite, Israelism, which goes ahead and says that the, and like normal original Christianity, which says that the Jews are not God's chosen people. This sort of crap came up with this Jew, with this Cyrus Schofield, who was pretty well hired by the Zionists. He was a crook. He was a liar. You know, he was a thief. He was a bigamist. He was altogether an unsavory character. He's sort of like Finkelschini of his day here. And he comes up with his reference Bible. He's hired by these Jews. He's hired by these Jews, these Zionist Jews, to go ahead and make Jews look good for the 20th century. I thought it was around the 1890s, but actually the Schofield Reference Bible came up in 1907 and was revised in 1917 or so. And by this time, here are these Jews trying to go ahead, and these Hittite Khazar Jews mainly, who essentially were Canaanites, but they never were actually in Israel. They were run out, in some cases, by Joshua, but they were already in Anatolia, Turkey, and they were part of this Iron Age, the first people who had iron. Now you go ahead in Genesis chapter 3, where you go ahead and look about how there would be two seed lines. This is in the Garden of Eden, after Eve has gone ahead and been seduced by Satan, physically seduced by Satan. And here it is to where, well, pretty well, she is put under dominion, official dominion, is made permanent of her husband, Adam. Because essentially, rather than put aside her for adultery and worry about getting another rib taken out of the side here, you know, like Logan would say, he's gone ahead and decided to be a cuckold with Satan and essentially allow her to give birth to a child of Satan. And pretty well, when Satan heard of the plan, he was the first archangel was mightier than Michael, mightier than Gabriel, mightier than the other lesser angels. He was the chiefest one of the archangels. He was number one. He was Lucifer. And the Jews understand that they are descended from him. The Masons understand that they are there at 33 degrees. That they're told the big secret is that they serve Satan. They serve the shining star of the morning. That's who they serve. And so you end up having Quakers who essentially are serving the Jews because they're serving Lucifer. That's what Masonism is about, is serving the Jews, serving Lucifer. Because that's what Christopher Pike said. As he used to be a Jew named Clark. He became a Confederate general. In any case here. So you go ahead and you find out about the seed line. And you end up having, verse 13 of Genesis 3. Well, let's go ahead and go on here. Genesis chapter 3, verse 11. Or verse 10. Verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where are you?" And he, Adam, said, "I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." Verse 11. And he, Yahweh, said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded you that you shouldn't eat?" Verse 12. And the man said, "The woman who you saved to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat." Now, I've gone ahead and had people say, "Oh, so you're saying that Adam was a homo? He went ahead and had sex with a serpent too? Had sex with the devil? Had sex with Satan?" The answer is no, not directly. But just like it said here, when you're going ahead and screwing people without a rubber or something like that, you're having sex with whoever this woman had. That's about what it boiled down to, and this is pretty well the same thing back then. He was having sex with Satan. He was touching of the tree because he had sex with a woman who had already been seduced by Satan. This is nothing new. This is, this is essentially dual seed line Christian identity, Comparean dual seed line Christian identity, which is standard. Whether or not you like this take here, well, I just simply say is that if you disagree with me, then you disagree with the whole premise of dual seed line Christian identity, and I don't see the point of arguing with you. I just think you ran off. And don't, not waste your time and not waste mine. I don't really give a shit about your time, but I do give a shit about mine. If you don't agree, it's sort of like with Keith. I went ahead and got a little bit exasperated with him and said, "Why are you here, Keith?" Same thing I went ahead and asked Maggie Bell Bitch Butts. That same thing I went ahead and asked Annie Anderson. Same thing I asked Clint Downey. "Why are you here? Why are you here? You don't believe what we believe here. You want to change it. Why are you here?" And they don't have an answer to that, other than, well, we want to go ahead, just like the devil and the devil's children, the Jews, we want to go ahead and botherate you. We want to go ahead and change Christian identity to suit us into papist preterism or what have you. That's why Eli James, that's why Finkelstein, that's why Brian Real, that's why this or that's why all these characters are here. They want to change Christian identity. They want to go ahead and put in, like this, they not only want to put in the strange ideas, they want to go ahead and put in their strange flesh. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to go ahead, and when the great tribulation is over, well, Christ, you don't need to return for your second coming like you promised in Matthew chapter 24, verses, 20 through 21. There's no point in you returning, Yahweh. There are no white people left. There's none of your servant nation left. Ha ha ha, we fooled you. We fooled you through war and chaos, but most through miscegenation. We fooled you, Yahweh. We outsmarted you. And that's why these characters show up that don't belong, mamsers like Jeremy Visser and Oba Genderbender and Eli James and Finkelstein and Brian Rio and Rebecca Mudshark and all these other characters. What happens is that Adam probably could have said, well, Yahweh, this woman that you gave me was defective. She couldn't mind. Essentially, he loved her. He did act like a man up, and pretty well, he ended up getting his own little curse for it. Essentially, this woman gave me of the, you know, tree. You know, essentially, she had sex with Satan, and then I had sex with her, and then I realized I was naked. I realized that I couldn't measure up to you, Yahweh. I realized that I'd fucked up. And I was ashamed of myself. Because I wasn't the man I should be, but I'm going to go ahead and blame the woman. I'm going to blame the woman here. Essentially, I'm just going to go ahead. You deal with her, Yahweh. Verse 13, the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Essentially, he went ahead and felt me a lion here like a nigger, and I went ahead and, you know, I got me some. Willie Martin, you know, I like Willie Martin, but he had what I called the Willie Martin heresy, to where he said the old Satan went ahead and came back as a nigger here, and he had a big old rock dick here, and old Eve went ahead and seen that big old black snake, and she went ahead, she rolled over on her round heels, and old Satan went ahead and went plowing here. So, niggers and Jews don't like that story. Niggers don't like being told they're descended from niggers, and niggers don't like going ahead being told that they're part Jew. So I like telling that Willie Martin heresy, and maybe he was right. I don't know. I mean, that isn't what I got out of it, but old Willie had one hell of a notion here. I like going in and telling people that. It's basically there's Jews and niggers around here. Okay. Anyway. Verse 13, you know, I've read that. Verse 14, Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you know, essentially, look, Satan, you knew you weren't supposed to be doing this crap. You knew damn well. You're going against me here, but you are cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. You know, you're cursed above the niggers. You know, and all these other critters that live, oh, far off, the chinks, the red niggers, what have you. You are cursed above all the beasts of the field, all these animals. Upon your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. Verse 15, Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. Because what happens, it's not between Adam's seed so much, it's between her seed. Because now she's sort of telegonic here. And it shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Christ would go ahead and come in and bruise the serpent seed's head. And they would go ahead and get to kill Christ when he came. Verse 16. Woman, he's not done with the woman yet. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. Well, I don't know if they mind the conception here based upon what I used to see on the 16mm films, but in sorrow shall you bring forth children, and your desire shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over you. Because Adam didn't go ahead and put her to death. Because Adam let her live, even though she'd gone ahead and brought him to sin. She now was even more and codified under the rule of the man. That's why I used to tell old Maggie Bell bitch butts. You know, even if you don't like Paul, even if you want to go ahead and take Paul out of the Bible, even if you think you're going to go ahead and be successful with it, it's not just Paul saying this. It's Yahweh saying this. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. verse 17. And to Adam he said, because you have hearkened unto the voice of your wife. You've been a pussy whoop dog, Adam. And you have eaten of the tree because you've gone ahead and had sex with whoever she's had sex with. She now has a polluted womb. So what happens is that essentially you've ended up having sex with the devil. Now you know that you are naked. You knew you'd done wrong. You didn't do right. So therefore, you know, you have eaten of the tree which I command you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In sorrow shall you eat of it all the days of your life. Folks, the ground isn't going to give freely anymore. You're going to have to work for a living. Verse 18, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and you shall eat the herb of the field. And the sweat of thy face shall you eat bread, till you return into the ground, for out of it you were taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust you shall return. You're going to die. You're going to be mortal. And of this ground which I went ahead and made you earlier, after the creation, after I rested, when I went ahead and made you, I guess you could say on the eighth day, you're going to go back to the dirt. The worms and the rest are going to go ahead and eat you, and they're going to leave nothing but dust of you. Your bones, your flesh, your organs, your eyes, your ears, they're gone. They're going to go ahead and become the dust. And the only thing you have is going to go ahead and be to where I'll go ahead and resurrect you, and then I will judge you upon what you do upon your time upon the earth. At the other end of the Bible, at the end of Revelation chapter 20, verse 20, and Adam called his wife's name Eve. Well, he goes ahead and he names her. See, previously he called her woman because she was taken out of man, i.e. him. Folks, remember, Jesus Christ, one of Jesus Christ's titles was called Son of Man. By that, he means true man. Not man niggers, you know, which are beasts of the field. Not chink niggers, beasts of the field. Not gook nigger, you know, not red niggers, beasts of the field. Essentially, Jesus Christ was a son of man, a son of Adam, when he came back, when he was incarnate flesh. Verse 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. Folks, these were the garments of power, which belonged with the family of Adam, and which were given, you know, which went ahead and went unto Noah, and which is, you know, worthless Wigger's son, Ham, went ahead and stole, and then gave to Cush, I think for my guy, Cush's nigger son. He was screwing a nigger aboard the ark. And then gave to Nimrod. And Nimrod, when it says the mighty hunter, he had those garments of power. And not only did lions and tigers and bears, oh my, go ahead and roll over, become tame, because he had dominion over them, but he had dominion over, quote, the other beasts of the field. By that, I mean the two-legged ones. The Cro-Magnons, the niggers, the gooks, whatever, if there were any of them there here. If it wasn't Adamic man, they were beasts. And therefore, these garments of power that Nimrod had were essentially high. You know, were essentially garments of great power. They're greater power, actually, than supposedly the Spear of Destiny. Because by then you could go ahead and have dominion over the non-pure white so-called men. Now, I don't know where the garments of power are. They sort of disappear, but you go ahead and find out later on that Esau and Jacob / supplanter before he became Israel went ahead and killed, well, essentially, you know, Esau went ahead and killed Neo-Nimrod, or Tammuz, you know, in the book of Jasher. And essentially, Jacob, Israel, went ahead and tried to get his brother, older brother Esau, to have something to go ahead and replace the birthright, which Esau had not given away during the, you know, during the porridge, but had given away by his sin of copulating with Canaanite women. Folks, the book of Jasher is not holy writ, it's not canon, it's not scripture, but you go ahead and you use it to agree with, you know, to go ahead and make plainer, to make clearer what you're supposed to understand in, what you're supposed to understand in the scripture. Folks, a real Christian identity minister, you know, not one of these idiots who are coming in, not one of these mamzers, you understand that this has been going on, depending on the Septuagint or the Masoretic text here, 7,500 to 6,000 years or so. It's been going on for a while. It's been going on for quite some time. And none of this stuff is new. None of this stuff is. Well, okay, well, you can like, you know, you can go ahead and like his corrected, I mean, Finkelstein's corrected Jew Testament here pretty well. It's just papist preterism here. I don't even see why he goes ahead and bothers with the book of Revelation here. Don't you know the four horsemen of the apocalypse were Gaius Marius, you know, Felix Sulla, Julius Caesar, and Mark Anthony, and they lived, what, oh, 100 to 150 years or more before John of Patmos went ahead and put, you know, put scripture. If you like it, you like it here. You know what I mean? I don't have much use for it. I mean, it's just a lying Jew going ahead and coming up with this stupid crap here. Verse 22, and the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. Now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. Verse 24, and he drove out the man and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So from what I gather, Adam had a choice. He was given free will. Only the white man, only the Adamic man, has free will. I end up talking to a whole bunch of mamzers like Apollonian, you know, Appy. He believes in determinism. Well, for Appy, there is nothing but determinism. You can't be anything other than a mamzer. You can't be anything other than a Jew. Brian Real, Fink, Visser, they don't have any free will. They can't go ahead and choose to be good. They can't go ahead and choose to be lawful. Because there's no covenant made with them. There's no law under which they actually live here. So therefore, they act like thieving mamzers. They act like criminals. They act like scum. They act like Jews. There is no covenant with them. Essentially, their lives are determined. They're just animals who live here a short time and then are gone. That's it. Only the pure-blooded white man has a choice. Only has free will. That's part of why the reason I don't believe in predetermination here or preexistence. Essentially, what you're doing is you're believing the Hindu concept here to where you have to go ahead and seek extinction because it's so bad to go ahead and come back as a maggot or a nigger or what have you. Again, 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 again. Anyway, verse 4, you know, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bore his brother Abel. Now, Bertrand Comparé, for my God, believed that Adam and Eve were fraternal twins. So there was pretty well a seed race, I guess, a birth race. And because Cain was the firstborn that came out of Eve's pussy, a number of people afterwards, if they were the firstborn,
they didn't get the best of everything. Rather, the second born was made, it was made more sanctified here. You go ahead and read about Japheth and Shem, but you don't go ahead and hear about Japheth being a particular sinner. But yet he was the eldest and got passed over to Shem. So anyway, we go ahead and go through Genesis chapter 4, where there's murder committed here. And you go ahead in Genesis chapter 4, it's pretty well about Cain, of the serpent seed's doing. Genesis chapter 4 is about of Cain and Cain's family. Cain went ahead and murdered Abel, his half-brother. And went on and said that, you know, when he tills the ground, it shall henceforth yield unto you her strength. A fugitive and vagabond shall you be on the earth. Verse 13, Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Well, just like all criminals. The punishment is just so awful. The crime was nothing. Verse 14, behold, you have driven me out this day unto the face of the earth, and from my face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. Well, in the Worldwide Church of God, I always used to ask that. I mean, well, let's see. Cain has killed Abel, Adam and Eve. Okay, so now there's Adam and Eve, Cain, no Abel. Why in the world should he wander and worry about people killing him? I mean, wouldn't Adam and Eve just simply tell the children that came afterwards, watch out for that Cain, he's a bad one. He's a bad, bad, bad man. He's bad. He has a tendency to go ahead, when he don't get his way, to go ahead and kill people. Cain's bad. Well, if you're dual seed line, you understand is that there were all sorts of other people. There were beasts of the field. There were these Cro-Magnons who were white. And from whom, I guess, there was no injunction actually against, you know, having sex with, because, well, by this time, you're having a mingling of the sons of Adam with these Cro-Magnons, and I believe that Yahweh said his creation was good, but not with niggers, not with chinks, not with these other beast races here. Of course, I could be wrong. I may be reading something into it that is not the case. But Genesis chapter 4 is about Cain and the serpent seed. And the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever slays Cain, vengeance shall be taken upon him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Well, folks, what was that mark? Well, Bertrand Comparé thought the mark was the mark of Cain. It wasn't like the Mormons believe, a dark skin. But rather, the mark of Cain was, well, hey, you got a big old Jew nose. So like Finkelschini. Yeah, you know, so like Bridget Thor Thompson, you know, Thor Thompson. You know, Finkelschini's sister looks like, was her name? Asarica, you know, Jessica Parker or something like that here. She has a real old kikus honker here. Real, you know, real big here. So we call it, since he goes ahead and pretends Bridget here, I go ahead and call him Finkelschini here, even though he claims to be from Palatine. Beware of thieving bastards who claim to be from the Rhine Palatine here. They be Jews. Anyway, going on. Verse 16, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he built a city, and he called the name of the city after the name of the son, Enoch. There are a lot of people who believe that Enoch, the book of Enoch, there was also an Adamite Enoch, But there's a lot of people who believe that the name Enoch, the very first city, was the town of Erech in Iraq. Erech in Iraq. The Erech in Iraq stays mainly with two hacks. Never mind. I always want to make this place thing into a musical here. What to say here? Where was I? Okay. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife. So where did Cain get his wife? Why does Cain have to worry about people who don't know him killing him? Answer, there's plenty of pussy running around. Plenty of two-legged pussy running around. Plenty of beast of the field pussy running around. He found him a wife. It doesn't necessarily believe when I was taught, raised up in Herbert Armstrong Church, there was essentially one of the sisters. It might have very well been some woman, probably white, probably a Cro-Magnon woman, who went ahead and he had enough people to go ahead and form a city. He called it, Enoch or Erech. Verse 18, Enoch was born, Irad, and Irad began Mahujael, and Mahujael begat Methusael, and Methusael begat Lamech. Folks, a lot of these names are both the Adamite seed in Genesis chapter 5. And of the sons of Cain. They went here and used the same names, like Enoch and Lamech. And that's which sound a lot like Methusael, which had pretty well the same root meanings. Okay, and Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of one was Ada, and the name of the other was Zillah. And pretty well in the Worldwide Church of God, they call her Black Zillah. I'm not quite sure why. I need to go ahead and look some more. And Ada bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. He was a herdsman, sort of like his great-great-granduncle Abel. Verse 21, and his brother's name was Jubal, for he was the father of all such as handled the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. Well, folks, Noah's wife was named Naamah. He is pure blood. Did this Naamah, was it Tubal-Cain's sister? Nope. Inconceivable. Can't be the case here. So where did Ham get his wife here? Well, he went ahead and got Tubal-Cain's sister. Why did Tubal-Cain become an artificer in brass and iron? Was pretty well the discoverer of the Iron Age. Answer, one of these demons of Satan's went ahead and taught Tubal-Cain what he knew about metalworking. And so Tubal-Cain knew how to go ahead and work not only bronze, but iron. The iron ore was far more common than the bronze and tin, or the bronze and arsenic, which made, or the copper and tin, which made it inferior arsenic. No. He is able to go ahead and figure out how to work this iron ore, which was far more common, and these iron weapons. Well, an alloy of iron is, that has carbon, a percentage of carbon. Now, they squared over over half of 1%. The alloy of carbon, of iron with carbon, i.e. just simply going ahead and sweating it with charcoal or coal to make steel, which is a tougher, stronger, sharper than just simply wrought iron, much less pig iron. Folks, Tubal-Cain learned how to go ahead and do it. He was essentially a smith here. the word Kenite, also meant, you know, which meant a son of Cain, also meant in many cases a smith, a tinkerer, a pot and pan people. Kenites. Verse 23, and Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, you wives of Lamech, hearken to my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. Verse 24, if Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and seventyfold. And pretty well the story was is that Lamech went ahead, just like Jews who don't give a crap, he shot an arrow in the air, where it went, he cared not where, and went ahead and hit old Cain, old Sargon, in the gizzard. So what's Cain going to do with his great, you know, however many great grandson? I think six degenerations removed. Answer, nothing. Old Cain's been killed. He'd gone ahead and went to the New World, his Quetzalcoatl. He'd gone everywhere. He taught the Aztecs, or the Toltecs, how to tear out hearts. He'd gone ahead and done so much stuff. He'd conquered the Middle East. He'd gone ahead and went in the east to the valley of the Terem. And there he was stymied. He was the son of the gardener. He was grossly taken out, poor Sargon. He was the father of the sons of Rekhi, the sons of Satan. He was a genius. He was a conqueror. And here his great-great-great-great-grandson goes ahead and shoots him in the gizzard. He kills the worthless bastard. The worthless evil bastard. And what to do? So folks, chapter 4 is about the sons of Cain, but Cain was trying to go ahead and get the Adamites, his half-brothers and sisters, and bring them under his sway. And so the very first Zog Babylon was in, well, just like America was against the Russians. The Bolshevik Jew Russians here, but at the same time, the first Zog Babylon was being undermined by Jews. Undermined by Jews altogether. Jews within themselves. The spawn of Satan. And they did miscegenate with demons and the rest. Let's go ahead. Let's see how it got on here. I'm going to go ahead and take a little bit of a break since I covered Genesis chapter 3 and Genesis chapter 4. We'll go ahead, and for tonight, we'll go ahead and cover Genesis chapter 5. All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and hail him, Lord God of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and hail him, Lord God of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye who did hear the call, hail him who saved you by his grace, and hail him, Lord God of all. Hail him who saved you by his grace, and hail him, Lord God of all. Let every Aryan of every tribe on this terrestrial ball to him all majesty ascribe and hail him, Lord God of all. To him all majesty ascribe and hail him, Lord God of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall. We'll join the everlasting song and hail him, Lord God of all. will join the everlasting song and hail him, Lord God of all. All right, folks, we're back. I think I'm going to make this the last segment of the Movement Turd. The very first one was essentially about, well, the shittens and Obongo quote debate, where I'd gone ahead and talked about how, essentially as white men, as Aryans, we should not give a crap about the very death throes, the very dog and pony show. We shouldn't go ahead and buy into it. We should simply boycott, not officially, but quietly. We should go ahead and get ourselves out of Babylon. We should go ahead and not worry about what's going to end up happening. Because either way, either Mittens or Obongo is out to go ahead and steal what little remains, and then the end shall come. So don't worry about it. Folks, there's nothing much going on in the movement. I had a fight with Jeremy Visser here. I got my digs in on the Obit Gender Bender and Pisser Possum show Wednesday night, and Wayne B went ahead and called in. So he went ahead and wanted me to do a Bible study. Well, for about 36 minutes, I went ahead and covered Genesis chapter 3 and Genesis chapter 4. And now I'm going to go ahead and cover Genesis chapter 5. And pretty well, we're going to probably take about a half hour to go ahead and do so. And then I'm going to go ahead and call it a night. Genesis chapter 5. This is the book of the generations of Adam, not of Cain. Cain and Adam, two different people. Adam's father was Yahweh, who went ahead and created him out of the dust of the earth. Now, I don't know if Adam had a belly button. There used to be a question about that. Did Adam have a belly button? Well, why would he? It's not like he had a navel. It's not like he had a navel cord to take. Adam was not born of woman. Woman was created of Adam, of man. So, I don't know. I would tend to say that probably Adam didn't have a navel here. This was some of the questions that used to be asked sometimes in Bible study by, young boys who had nothing better to do than to go ahead and write questions here. Well, did Adam have a navel? I don't think he did. I really don't. I think probably of all the people ever born, he was the only one without a navel. Jesus Christ had a navel. Adam didn't here. Maybe I should have told Adam something. Anyway, Genesis chapter 5, verse 1. This is a book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Verse 2, male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. Verse 3, and Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. And Seth meant replacement. Now the Egyptians called their god of darkness Seth, or Seth, because, well, They went ahead and had their own little, Ra, Isis, Horus, baby Horus, belief here. Verse 4, in the days of Adam after he begot Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. Verse 5, and all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. That was pretty long, 70 years. Less than 1,000. So you can go ahead and add up the days, the years by the begats. And what you do is you come to, well, essentially all the way from Adam to Noah. And then on 600 years, Noah's 600th birthday, second month, the flood came. So you add from creation 1656 and Bertrand Comparet, even though he doesn't altogether trust the Masoretic dating, he went ahead and came up with either 4001 BC or 4004 BC, and pretty well said that the flood occurred somewhere between 3142 and 3145 to 3142 BC. He went ahead and used the, the time 1656 to 4001 BC to 4004 BC, like the Bishop Busher said that Adam was created on September 1st at 9 o'clock either in the morning or 9 o'clock in the evening. I've heard 9 o'clock in the morning. You gotta wonder how they managed to get the time so perfect here. I don't think anybody had a wristwatch back then. Much less a grandfather clock. But, in any case here, where was I here? Well, I'm pretty well covered this here. And all the, Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years and he died. So Seth didn't live quite as long as his daddy, Adam. Going on. And Enos lived 90 years and begat Cainan. Now there was a book. Oh, it's by a Judeo-Whigger. He does not like Christian identity. He does not like, he doesn't know about the dual seed line thing, but he doesn't like Herbert Armstrong's church here. And he went ahead, and I went ahead and checked it out. And heck, I may end up going ahead and buying it in the Kindle edition. Or I may go ahead and buy the paperback for $12 or something like that. I had the thing here. It is quite useful in that he goes ahead and talks about post-deluge history. He gets a number of things wrong, but he does get the 1656, I think, correct. Okay? Not from the Septuagint dating, but from the Masoretic dating. The Septuagint dating goes ahead and adds anywhere from 1500 to about 1000 years to the other dating. Comparet simply goes ahead and uses the Masoretic text of 4004, and then goes ahead and subtracts 1656, because this is where you get it from, Genesis chapter 5. And Enos lived 90 years, begat Cainan, verse 10, and Enos lived after he begat Cainan, 815 years, begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. So, what happens, Enos doesn't live. He lives 12 years less than Father Seth. And he lives 65 years less. No, he lives 25 years less than grandfather Adam. Verse 12, and Cainan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel. And Cainan lived after he begat Mahalalel. Sorry. I'm not taking enough time to go ahead and pronounce it, even though it is, pronounced. Goes ahead and gives you the spelling here and syllables. 840 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Cainan were 910 years and he died. Well, he lived a little bit longer, 5 years longer than Enos, 15 years less than Adam, great grandfather. And Mahalalel lived 65 years and begat Jared. And folks, there's a Jared mentioned in the previous chapter. So I guess they went ahead and they had the same language. This was before Babylon II and Nimrod and the confusion of tongues. So they had pretty well the same names. They had the same language and the same names, both the spawn of Satan through Cain and the sons of true man through Adam. And Mahalalel lived 60 years and begat Jared. And in verse 16, and Mahalalel lived after he begat Jared 830 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years and he died. So folks are no longer beating 900 years. Folks, they are declining. So like Tolkien said about the kings of Numenor. this is Lord of the Rings. This is the Silmarillion here. Okay. I used to read quite a bit of Tolkien. And all the days, Jared lived after he got Enoch. Well, Jared lived 162 years and got ink. Well, folks, I guess if you go ahead and wait time to go ahead and see the good Lord, you live a little bit longer. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years and he died. Well, folks, I guess there's a reinvigoration. You know that if you go ahead and hold off, you know, having sex and begatting your successor, you'll live a little bit longer. Of course, let's not go ahead and use that as an inducement to get past your prime before you end up having children. Let's see here. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Okay, we're getting to Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Well, Enoch didn't last so long. Why not? Answer, because Enoch was taken up by Yahweh. His life, I guess, on this earth, his mortal life, was cut short by Yahweh as a reward. Verse 24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Well, one day he was there, and then one day he was not. He was not here, because Yahweh took him. Verse 25, Methuselah lived in 185 and 7 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. Verse 27, all the days of Methuselah were 969 years and he died. Well, folks, he is the record holder for living. Now, Og and Sihon, these giants, may have lived longer. But the reason Methuselah lived so long, of the sons of Adam, and of Adam kind, was the entire point was to go ahead and give an additional 20 years where Noah had a chance to urge people to stop race mixing, to go ahead and spread out, to go ahead and avoid the very first Zog Babylon, the first. And Lamech lived 108 years and begat a son. He called his name Noah, saying, this son shall comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord has cursed. From what I gather, these people who lived in the Tarim Basin, they're already having the ground cursed. Because of the quality and the race mixing and all that here, the ground was cursed just like it was sort of in the drought earlier in southwest Missouri. Our ground is increasingly being cursed because we are lawless and because Yahweh is having enough of it. And folks, you know, Yahweh was having enough of the very first Zog Babylon. So here it is, Noah says this same. The son shall comfort us concerning, you know, us. His family, his wife, he shall comfort us. Verse 30, and Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years and begat sons and daughters. Verse 31, and all the days of Lamech were 777 years and he died. He lived, well, to 777 years and he died. Folks, he didn't even make 800, much less 900. Like his daddy did. He died before his daddy. He died before Methuselah. Noah's father died before his father. So why was that? Answer? Well, because Yahweh had a point to make with Methuselah. Verse 32. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, according to this book I went ahead and read, is that Noah's wife was named Naamah as well. So did he marry of the line of Cain? Answer, nope. Did he marry Tubal Cain's sister, instructed by the demon and ironworking in chapter 4, verse, what the heck? Verse, 22. Now, this was a different Lamech, who had a son called Tubal-Cain, and a daughter, Tubal Cain's sister, Naama, bore a Zilla, or Blackzilla, as Worldwide Church of God people used to say. Folks, they went ahead and had the same names, Lamech, Enoch, Jabal, but there were two different bloodlines, I'm going to go ahead and cover the very first, Genesis chapter 6. Let's see how much time I have left. Okay, let's go ahead and cover Genesis chapter 6. Oh, it looks like Papa Cat, the federal agent, got tired. Verse 6, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born of them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they choose. Folks, you're talking about these demons. You're talking about these watchers. These so-called sons of God. Answer, they were these angelic beings which were made incarnate, who made themselves incarnate. Flesh. And they were going ahead and miscegenating with the daughters of men, the daughters of Adam, human females. Verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Well, folks, he's not going to go ahead and strive with these demons. He's certainly not going to strive with them now that they're flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. Verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days, and after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, that they bore children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. You had giants and heroes. You had people of great power and ability. But along with that power and ability, guess what? Verse 5, came wickedness. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. See, along with this ability came ability to do evil, to do nothing but evil. It says that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And you go ahead and read that you end up having the Cainites. And they were the Monsantos of that era. In a sense, they do the same thing that Monsanto do. They went ahead and miscegenated not only plants, but animals as well. Verse 6, and repent the Lord that he had made man on the earth and grieved him in his heart. Well, folks, Dual Seedline Christian Identity holds that the flood was only in the Tarim Basin. It was not under the lands of Mesopotamia, was not under, the Chinks, was not in Egypt. Bertrand Comparay, in his work about the flood, says that Job, the architect to Khufu, went ahead and laid the base of the Great Pyramids 11 years after the flood. The first kingdom of Egypt was pretty well soon after the flood. He goes ahead and points out in his book that there was a dynasty, the Shang dynasty, the first dynasty, Shang, who is known as the great dragon, the Shang-Ti dynasty, under the lord of their heaven, Shang, their great dragon at the time. And that the emperor of that time went ahead and noticed a result of the Yellow and Yangtze River flooding because of the runoff from the Tarim Basin, which used to be the plateau. Verse 7, the Lord said, I will destroy man who I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 9, are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Verse 10, Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. I used to go ahead and ask in the Worldwide Church of God, because they didn't believe in dual seed line. They may have heard of it, some of the smarter ones. But they believed that Eve had multiracial children, that her eggs were multiracial. And that Japheth, the oldest one, went ahead and married a yellow woman, and that Shem was the only one that married a white woman, and they believed that Ham married a nigger. That's where you get the curse of Ham, even though Ham was not cursed, even though he was a worthless wigger, but rather, Canaan was cursed. And Eli James wants to go ahead and pull this crap that Ham's son Canaan was a result of incest between him and his mother Noah's wife, Naamah, but says that Noah was a perfect generation. And so was his sons. So how does that work? Answer, Ham was a wigger. Ham went ahead and had a nigger wife. Ham had a Jew wife, Naamah. But not his mother Naamah, but rather Naamah, the sister of Tubal-Cain, mentioned in Genesis chapter 4 of the line of Cain. And therefore, that's where the line of Canaan came from. So whenever you have someone like Eli James, or Keith Southworth, or Finkelschini, or whatever, trying to go ahead and tell you that Canaanites are Israelites, and Israelites are Canaanites, and essentially Canaan was just a little baby wigger who was cursed because, well, his daddy Ham was a motherfucker. Don't believe these idiots. Why are these people in Christianity? The answer, they're Jews. They want to go ahead and infiltrate and go ahead and destroy us all. Okay? So, it looks like Papa Cat's back with us here. Verse 11, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Well, which part of the earth? And the answer, it just meant the Eretz. It meant the lands. It meant this Tarim Basin, 600-some miles long, 350 miles wide, which is smack dab against the Himalayas. And pretty well, it used to go ahead, at least in there, and they were a adjunct against Cain. You go ahead and read that Cain had been killed by his great, you know, six generations down, Lamech. But Cain's kingdom was still running around. The non-Adamic white beasts of the field, the Babylonians, the Sumerians, were ruled by Cain and Cain's kids, the sons of Aki, these big-nosed Jews. That's who they were ruled by. Cain went ahead and sent Amorites. They were blonde, blue-eyed Jews, the Amorites, who the Germans went ahead and mistook for Aryans. And the dwarven ones were sent to Cornwall. That's why Commandor McFag got all pissed off when Eli James about a couple months ago went ahead and, you know, pointed out where the pigs came from. They were these dwarven Amorites who were sent to make sure that Cain had a supply of tin in from Cornwall. And so he sent them out here. But there were also Picts and Canaanites. Well, before Canaan, they were Kenites, who essentially were Jews who lived among the Neanderthal people, or the Neolithic people of Britain. The Stone Age people. Neolithic means late Stone Age. There's Paleolithic. There's a number of them. Neolithic is the last of the Stone Age before the Bronze Age. But you also had the Iron Age with the Hittites, who were Canaanites, who had been taught by their uncle Tubal-Cain to his sister Naamah. Anyway, I'm not going to go ahead and cover the rest of Genesis chapter 6, because that's time for another time here, folks. But what I'm trying to point out is that you have these Canaanites, you have these Kenites, you have these spawn of Satan, and they have always tried to go ahead and infiltrate Israel. And so when you understand that, you understand people like Jews like Eli James and William Fink and Brian Reel and Jeremy Visser, and sometimes I even think old Keith here, who are trying to go ahead and say that there's no difference between the Canaanites and the Israelites. There's no difference between the spawn of Satan and the sons of true man. And when you hear that, you wonder, why are you saying this sort of stupid shit? Why are you telling people this? It's not true. And it does not belong within Christian identity. And the reason it doesn't belong is that ideas, Jew ideas, are like Jew genetics. Neither Jew genes nor Jew notions belong among Israelites, Christian Israelites, Christian identists. You know, and I don't like to say identist here. E-Y-E-D-E-N-T-I-S-T-S. You know, it doesn't belong among Christian Israelites. And anybody who goes ahead and tries to tell you that the spawn of Satan belongs with the sons of true men is more likely a spawn of Satan himself, a child of hell. And you should avoid them like a plague. In any case, folks, I'm going to go ahead and at the very least, I think this is going to go ahead and be pretty well, you know, the last segment of the Movement Turd. I went ahead and covered, don't worry about what goes on in Babylon, the third and final. There's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you can do about it. Just like in the days of Noah, so it's said in Matthew 24 when me, you know, and Logan went ahead and covered it, there is no getting around what Yahweh says is the appointed time to end it all. But we don't know the time and date, but we know when it's coming around. We can see it. We can see the signs of the time. And therefore, do not worry. Do not worry about the sons of Satan and Uyghurs doing stupid crap and doing evil crap. There's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you can do about it. Rather, what you do is you don't be a part of it. You withdraw from it. You don't pretend it's real. You don't pretend it's anything other than fake. You don't pretend it's anything other than bogus. You just get out from under it. And if you die, then you die in Yahweh. There's some things you can't do anything about. You know, get out from under Satan. Get out from under Zog Babylon. And what you do is you go ahead and don't trust so much in yourself, but trust in Yahweh. And you beg for his forgiveness and beg for his mercy. So that as a son of Yahweh, and a pure son and daughter of Yahweh, you can save your own life and those of your family and those of your friends who are also of the servant nation of Yahweh, so you may go ahead and survive and prosper. That's what you do. Don't go ahead and get involved in white nationalism. Don't get involved in above ground Christian identity. Save yourself. Save your family. Because you go ahead and you go up against Yahweh's plan, you are going to be crushed and ground like a, you know, ground into a fine powder of blood and meat. And you don't want that. Essentially, get out from under Babylon. Save your life. So folks, I'm going to go ahead and call it a night. I'm going to go ahead and say Hail Victory. May Yahweh bless. Good night.
White men clad in black are we, hi-yi-oh-ho, and we'll stamp out the tyranny, hi-yi-oh-ho. White men go, we vote ho, on the 50 roof let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the 4.5 laws let red blood flow. When Adam delved and Eve defend, Kyrie-lei-i, all who was then the ruling man, Kyrie-lei-i. White men go, we vote ho, on the 50 roof. let the red cock crow. Why they go civil war ho? On the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. Four white men, their rifles shoot. The Jews are laid low. On sogling necks we stomp our boots to stamp out gasco. White men go, we vote ho. On the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho. On the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. The regime must only love its greed. Hi-yi-oh-ho. The love of God our only need. Hi-yi-oh-ho. White men go, we vote ho. On the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho. On the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. We'll conquer for our cause is right. Hi-yi-oh-ho. Our sons won't have to go and fight. Hi-yi-oh-ho. White men go, we vote ho. On the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho. On the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow.